This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hi, welcome to Geek and Sassy. I am Jennifer Smith, one of your hosts here on Place to Be Nation Pop. And I am joined, as always, by the wonderful and beautiful Miranda. Hey, Miranda.
Hello, Jenny.
How are you, baby?
I am here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are. Finally, right?
Yes. Because didn't somebody even ask us this weekend, like, hey, when are you going to give me some more of them Geek and Sassies?
Yeah, we were like, it was Bianca, I think.
I was it.
And also, my son has asked me every week for like 6 weeks, when are you going to do more Geek and Sassy, Mom? I'm like, child, have you not noticed the life changes that have happened? It's not like I don't want to. It's just, you know, summers are busy for everybody. And, you know, we're trying because we did try. Mm-hmm. And we had a little snafu last week. And then my internet was out for most of the day today. So I thought tonight wasn't going to happen. But finally got that worked out. Mm-hmm. And then my son's so sweet. He went on his phones. He went on iTunes and left us a review.
Oh my God, it's adorable.
So cute.
Stinking adorable.
He's such a mystery wrapped in an enigma because I never know what he's going to say, when he's going to be rude, and when he's going to be sweet.
Mine was really funny tonight. He was like, oh, yeah, you're going to do your thing with Miss Jenny. And I was like, yeah. And he goes, I know. I can't listen to him until I'm older, but I support you. And I was like, oh, my God. And anybody that doesn't know our kids would think they were sucking up. And maybe sometimes they are, but that's, like, just them.
They're just, like, very naturally sweet, I think.
They are. They both are.
And,
I've laughed for, like, 3 days, though, by the way, at John's comment this weekend.
Which one?
That was the funniest crap about if we let the boys have their own podcast.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, we have to share it now, right?
Oh, my God, we do. We do, but I have. I've laughed for, like, 3 days. It'll just randomly come to my mind, and I'll be like...
Well, we were discussing Geek and Sassy, and then somebody had mentioned to us the possibility of spinoffs. So we thought, well, what could that possibly be? What could a spinoff of Geek and Sassy be? And, you know, I was like, what if we let Caden and Ethan do a podcast?
Yeah.
And then
the next sentence, we were talking about something else, and all of a sudden John just, like, bust out laughing, which mm-hmm. I was like, what the heck? And he's like, no, I'm not laughing at you guys.
He was laughing because he said we could call the boys spinoff Ass and Burgers.
If you listen to us for a while, that needs no explanation.
And it's like, it's kind of offensive, but like...
It's kind of offensive, but if you haven't listened to us, like, if this is your first time here, our children are Aspies, or they have Asperger's, and so it's like a play on words, because I could totally see both of our kids being like, no, you're an ass. Mm-hmm. And I was dying, because then I think your kid turned around and looked at John and was like, what did he even say?
Something about your jokes aren't funny, Dad, or some bullshit.
He said your jokes aren't funny, but then when I went to leave, John said it again, and Ethan said something about, like, well, your ass.
Yeah, he always tells John he has ass problems.
That's what it was. He's like, well, you have... Oh my God, I did. I laughed, like, the whole way home.
Don't we all have ass problems, though, you know?
And we really do.
Oh, my God. So, anyway, finally, this is not Ass and Burgers. This is Geek and Sassy. So, let's be geeky and sassy, Miranda.
I think we are, dude.
We, it was our intention originally to do sort of like a season breakdown for all of our beloved CW shows. And then as, well, you know, Supergirl did this weird thing where it just kept going after all the other seasons of the other shows were done.
It was weird.
And so, I mean, like a good month after everything else. So it was like, well, you don't want to do these shows without including Supergirl, so that pushes it back. And then with us not being able to record, it's been several weeks since the end of that. So it all feels like we're kind of missed our window, you know, to talk about the shows. But, you know, I feel like some, we could do just some general thoughts, what stood out to us, what we liked, what we didn't like about the shows, instead of going, like, extensively into each one. I gotta be honest, like, talking about Supergirl, that last run of episodes I thought was pretty strong. To me, I think it helped because I binged them. And to me, that just always, for whatever reason, puts more impact on something, either the plot or the performances, in some way makes it more memorable to me when I binge the shows, because I have a hard time remembering specific moments from earlier parts of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to give major shout out to Lena Luthor. I thought she was fucking awesome all season long, even with her romance with James Olsen. It's not my most favorite thing, but she's so good that it makes it okay for me.
I think I like him better with Lena than I do with Kara.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I don't want him with Kara.
What I need is Mon-El.
Yep.
Anyway. Mm-hmm.
So that, like, you know, we don't, like I said, I don't want to, like, go through everything, but some other high points for me. Rain, I thought, ended up fairly well. There was a little bit of an anticlimactic ending for her, but
yeah.
I really liked the build-up for her. I really liked how they made me care about Samantha, because
they made you care about her and hate her at the same time.
Yeah, I don't care for that actress too much, so that was a hurdle for
I really
me to get
thought
over.
Somebody else could have done a better job. I mean, she wasn't horrible, but
she pulled it out. She did all right.
Wasn't it the girl that? Is it you that the girl that played her daughter? You were like, oh my god.
No, I thought she was all right.
Okay, there's somebody that I was talking to that was like, oh, holy crap, why is she there? And I was like, well, because it's part of the plot. And they're like, no, like, her. It's like, oh, I don't know.
Maybe it's because they didn't look anything alike. I don't know if that had something to do with it. I don't know. But yeah, like, fairly, you know, they have the whole, gosh, it's so hard to talk about it now because you have to go back and explain everything, but it turns out that the capital city or whatever of Krypton was not destroyed. So Kara was reunited with her mother, and that brought back the evil Kryptonians. So you get another Kryptonian threat to Supergirl, which is a little bit old at this point. I liked that they were all women, so that was good. At least it wasn't Dominators again, or were Daxamites, or whatever.
But I need something new.
It was, and it had sort of like a mystical feeling to it, because they were witches, or, you know, whatever their version of witches are. And there was a lot of religious imagery and overtones. So it had sort of a, I don't know. And they would do that thing where they would project Samantha into the a nether world or whatever.
Yeah, that whatever, that weird, almost upside down world.
Yeah, kind of like the upside down and fight Rain that way, but different. You know, different yeah. enough, even though they were Kryptonians, if that makes sense. What else do we like? I loved John and his dad.
Oh my god.
They broke my heart.
Yes.
And the scenes with John's dad are just the most precious things. Because to me, they really do feel like father and son.
Mm-hmm.
And the performances are just fucking top notch. Unbelievable. I sobbed and sobbed at the end of his episode there at the end. I thought Alex was strong. I thought Wynn was strong. I thought Monel was strong.
Like dealing with more stuff of his life, like dealing with mm-hmm. his life. Mm-hmm. That episode was pretty. As a boy mom, mm-hmm.
yeah,
that episode yeah. was pretty hard too. Especially you know because Wynn's mom comes back in the one episode and she explains like why she's kind of ignored Wynn this whole time and
she was afraid of his life.
Right, and I was like. Wynn's pissed, and I'm pissed for him, but I'm crying for his mom because, dear Lord, how do you, you know,
stay away?
That?
Yeah.
Right, how do you stay away? And doesn't she even say, like, she did, but she didn't? Like, she would make sure she always knew how he was doing and
yeah.
what he was doing, but she had to not be near him or, you know, his dad would have killed them both.
Right. It was rough. Parts of that were rough. And his
super,
performance
like,
was great.
Relatable, realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Like John's dad. I mean, I'm not saying everybody has a psychopath dad who says if your mom comes near you, they'll kill you. But I'm just saying like it was like a true storyline. Like a mom having a legitimate reason why she has to be away from a child.
Mm-hmm.
And it not just being like, oh, well... For selfish reasons, you know, too often I think they put in a story where it's like, well, I just couldn't take care of you, or, you know, it was a mom trying to truly protect her child, and then John's dad, because I think as we're getting older, people in our family are obviously getting older, and Alzheimer's is more prevalent, or relevant, rather, but that was hard to watch.
It was hard, and the way... that they tried to solve the problem by doing the mind meld thing was really beautiful because John mm-hmm. got to see all those memories from his dad and know that he was the keeper of those. And then his dad has the peace of knowing that all of their planet's history and especially their religious history would live on with his son. So he could have his own peace, at the end of his life. It really was just really touching and wonderfully done.
It really was. All in all, I don't know. I really liked this season. What is this, season three?
I think it's...
Three, two.
Was it three?
Four? I don't know. My brain is like...
Yeah, it was three.
Together. Is it three?
Mm-hmm.
I think... Season two is pretty strong, but I think season three with the raw emotion, because
mm-hmm.
you're also playing with kind of in some ways divorce, if you think about it, because now Kara has to watch Mon-El be with someone else,
mm-hmm.
but there's time travel involved, so it's a little bit unrealistic divorce, but in a sense, it's a breakup where you still have to be around that person, and you don't hate that person, you actually still love that person, and then there's a lot of raw emotion in this season.
Yes. Very much so. And even Mon-El, you know, he has to realize that he still has all those feelings as well.
He does.
And then the wife, she was okay, you know, for what she was.
Right.
You know, her accent bugged me a little bit, but she was super gorgeous, so I overlooked
yeah.
But, you know, at the end, she was just like, look, I've kept secrets from you. I've not been what I was supposed to be at. You know, I didn't tell you about the real mission here. And obviously, you still have feelings for Kara. So, you know, you have to do what you have to do, really.
Right.
Which is, like, pretty freaking, you know, adult of her. I mean, pretty cool of her, honestly, to be like, you know, this has been what it's been, but now we have to be true to ourselves or whatever.
Right.
Trying to think of what didn't work for me. Of course, the CGI at points did not work for me.
This is one of those few shows that the CGI is not the, like, it's better on other shows, and I don't know if that's because still yet maybe this show has less money to work. I'm not sure why the reasoning is, but yeah, there were some CGI that I was like, what are you, DC movies? I mean, it was just eh. Overall, I think if you're asking me which one of these shows this season worked for me, it was Supergirl.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So I don't have a whole lot that didn't work for me. Just because, I don't know. I think this one was my favorite one this season.
It's probably number two for me, honestly. And that's surprising, I think.
I think I could guess which one is number one.
Yeah? Well, don't spoil it.
I won't.
All right, so moving on to The Flash. Now, this one, I think, started out pretty strong with a really compelling villain in The Thinker.
Mm-hmm.
And the premise that The Thinker created metahumans so that he could take all their powers.
I think I liked The Thinker so much. I think I liked The Thinker. Wow. I liked him so much in the beginning because he was not another speedster.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. I love speedsters, but like in the world of Flash, you know there's more villains than just speedsters.
I did appreciate that about him, and I appreciated the actor's performance. I thought he had a very, like, chilling quality. And as the season went on, the wife, I think, kind of overshadowed him as far
as... I started having, like, sympathy for her.
Definitely. I mean, she was very nuanced because... You know, at first, it was very like, this bitch, especially, like, in the courtroom scenes during Barry's trial for the murder.
Yeah, because she knew, right? Like,
and
obviously.
Her and Iris had words, and, you know, I just, like, was burning with hatred for her. Like,
yeah.
Oh, my God. And then as it went on and you got to see more of her backstory and their relationship, it totally changed your mind on her.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell she was truly in love with this person.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, there's some manipulation going on there.
Oh, definitely.
There's some straight-up manipulation. Which, I don't know, I didn't like when they started switching bodies, because...
Yeah, that got a little tedious.
I was like, okay.
Yeah. Bye. It was simultaneously cool to see those actors try to be him, you know what I mean? Like, how
right.
do they pull that off? Pretending to be somebody else in somebody else's body, you know what I mean?
Right.
And for the most part, I thought they did a good job at that. But, you know, once you do it a couple times, it's like, all right, you know, we get it. And then especially when, you know, Ralph was so great all season and the chemistry.
I really may have a slight crush on Ralph Dibny.
Yeah, I know. It's odd, right?
Because he's such kind of like a tool when we first meet him. And then just as he gets to going, I'm like, oh, I think you're adorable.
He really, he has that he's not really, I mean, he's kind of dickish, but
it's almost like socially awkward.
That,
like,
and a self-preservation.
Right.
And honestly, just being a coward, you know, like, he's scared. He, especially towards the end, like, he's supposed to be this superhero, and I think he really wants to be, but it's just fucking scary sometimes. And the thought of trying to live up to that, especially when you've been sort of slimy your whole life, mm-hmm. you know, it's a lot of pressure. I
makes you wonder if he was slimy all those years because it was easier to be slimy than it was to be a hero.
Right.
Because it does take a lot of courage and thought. An effort to be a hero, to be a good person, mm-hmm. than it is to be slimy. I mean, think how easy it is to naturally be like, ah, I don't give a fuck, you know?
Yeah, I think that's why I identified with him quite a bit. You know, it's just like, it's easier to try not to care, you know, just to not care about it.
Right.
To separate yourself from it and say, you know, I got to take care of me, you know, let everybody else worry about themselves. And then being around Barry and being around the team, he really just learned how to do it. And Barry, I thought, was so mature and wonderful with Ralph. And so just giving and just so Barry about it. The whole team was. Well, I think some of them had a harder time with it than others. But I think Barry could see something in Ralph that maybe took the others a little bit. little bit longer. And so I think that was like why it really hurt Barry when Ralph got the thinker treatment there for a little bit. And then the way that they brought him back was a little bit on the nose, a little bit comic booky. But, you know, acceptable. Acceptable for the Flash.
I'm okay with staying comic booky if it's done right.
Yeah, it was acceptable. Well, tell me what you think about Amunette. Yeah,
I just don't know.
Tell me why.
I feel like a bad person. Partly because, well, one, she's a little sleazy, mm-hmm. well, a lot of sleazy, but she's pretty, so she's not what you expect, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I want her to, how do I say this? I want her to not be so sleazy, but I want her to be like, I want her to be, I don't know, just horrible at the same time. Like, I have this love-hate relationship with her because I want her to be really bad, but I don't.
Okay. Well, do you feel like she was or she wasn't?
I don't know. I think she had moments of wishy-washy. I think that it was almost like, here, let's throw this person in here to distract you from what's really going on.
I felt like she and Caitlin had a bond that helped to humanize her a little bit because she did some terrible things.
Well, that's true.
And her powers were really fucking weird. You know, like she has to tote around the bucket of shards, you know?
Like, yeah. So,
like pretty lame.
What superhero, anti-villain, villain, any of those, has to tote around a bucket of shards? I'm going to say it just like that, too. Even doing like the arm swing in front of my chest, because everybody can see me right now. Bucket of shards with you to get anything accomplished. I mean,
it's a little lame.
It's hard for me because I really like Katie Sackhoff.
I love her.
Like, she is amazing.
She is.
Our friend Kelly actually got to meet her when we all went to Heroes and Villains. And he said she's exactly what you would think you would get to meet. that she was just fantastic and wonderful to talk to. And actually, I think he got to talk to her a little bit longer because it's like the last, either he was like the first person at the table and nobody else was really there, or the last person. But he said it was like amazing to talk to her. And he kind of talked to her about Amulet and other roles that she's played. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I want to love her because it's Katie Sackhoff, but at the same time, I don't know exactly how I feel overall about her. And like you said, she carries around a bucket of shards.
What about her accent? What did you think of that?
I kind of liked her accent, actually.
I kind of did, too. Like, it was sort of, like, really bad, but, like...
It was so bad that you love it?
Yeah, a little bit.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
I mean, she's super intelligent. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, she was...
Like, her character.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think she goes back and forth some. I'm hoping there's more to her. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I wouldn't mind seeing her again.
She has a presence.
You know what I mean? She has sort of a gleefully bad presence. Like she enjoyed doing bad things. Like it was interesting to watch.
Yeah, because she was always happy when she was doing something horrible.
Yeah.
And you're like, I think that was the disconnect where I was like, wishy-washy, not sure. I want her to be nasty, right. But I don't because. Like
I liked that
she's
about
so
her.
She's so happy when she's doing these really shitty things.
But it wasn't, like, enough. It wasn't scary enough to be, like, really chilling. You know what I mean? Like,
no.
Sometimes it's, like, it just wasn't quite, like, scary enough to, like, really push her performance.
Like, she's
over.
Not Damien Dark.
Right.
She's not Damien.
Not as funny as that, but still... You know, with the sly humor.
Yeah, she wasn't like Barrowman funny, and she's not Damien Dark. Mm-hmm. But she's, I don't know. She's a good in between that I'm just still not sure, and my brain is like leaving me right now. But is there any? I don't remember. Was there anything that was said like, "Oh, she's gone," or there wasn't really? Was there?
No, she helped them get one of the little. She gave them a device or whatever to help blow up the satellites or whatever.
Which isn't it one of the devices or the things that she's, like, known for stealing? Like,
yeah, she helped them, essentially, in the end, but they let her go away. So, sort of a...
But I don't, like, we've let people go away before and then they come back.
Right,
so I'm hoping
like a Captain Cold type thing.
Oh my god, yes.
Yeah. Lots of humor in this season, I thought, especially mm-hmm. with, of course, Cisco and Wells and the Council of Wells, which I
adore. Oh my god, Council of Wells, like, best thing ever.
Love it so hard.
I think with all the dark we've had in the past couple of seasons, like Emo Berry and things like that, I welcome and embrace the funny again.
I do too.
We even had Emo Cisco for a moment, mm-hmm. you know, like... Mm-hmm. I embrace the Cisco jokes again.
I did too. Barry and Iris got married. Was that this season?
Mm-hmm.
Good God. Feels like it's been longer.
I know it does.
Yeah,
did they get married?
It was at the end of Cross's
Song. Or was it the... Yes, they did.
And... Yeah, it was at the end of Crisis on Earth X.
Because didn't a bunch of people got married?
Yeah.
A bunch of people got married then.
Yeah, they got married in a joint ceremony with Oliver and Felicity. And so it was, you know, wonderful. I love Barry and Iris together. It was, of course, they had planned this wedding, and it didn't go the way that it was supposed to. But the way they ended up actually getting married.
Didn't go the way it was supposed to, like, two or three times.
Yeah, a couple times. And it was just very sweet. And they, even right after that, you know, Barry was in jail. And, you know, they never got to just, like, be married couple with nothing going on, which they won't because he's the Flash. So, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't say, let's be a normal married couple, because what is normal when you are the Flash?
But I think they've put away a lot of this, this notion of, I need to keep you protected. You know, I need to keep you away from me to protect you. And I think that it's clear that the way that they will protect each other is by being all together, being all hands in for every problem.
And I'm glad we finally acknowledged that, because that's part of that like CW thing that like makes all of us mad, I think.
Yes.
Kind of along the lines of the, they also do the will they, won't they a ton. Mm-hmm. But then they also do the like, no, you need to go away because I need to protect you. Kind of like when in his mother, although that worked that time. But like, it doesn't work when you use it so, like when it's overdone.
Mm-hmm. It just, like, it loses its effectiveness.
Right.
And
how many seasons now we've been going, I'm going to go over here so I can protect you. And you just want to put your face in a pillow and be like, ah!
And at the end of the day, it just doesn't work because you're keeping secrets. You know, you're not, it's not going to work out.
Mm-mm, not at all.
So, what else do we think about The Flash?
Keep up the jokes. Bring back Amunette, because I'm not sure how I feel about her. I need more Dibny.
Yes, there will be more Dibny.
Is there anybody else that... More Dibny. Need more Dibny without question. I don't know. I liked moments between him and Caitlin a lot.
Yeah, I did too.
I really like that.
And
then I think that's another one of those, though, like, will they, won't they? You know?
Yeah, I could see that happening. I don't know if I want that to happen, but I could see it.
I kind of want it to happen.
I don't want everybody to, like, couple up all the time. Like, and I know that sounds weird for me to say, but, like, then I feel like Cisco gets left out, and then...
Well, no, that's right, because he got the breakup cube.
Yeah, they broke up.
Although, I really liked the episode with him and Danny Trejo, where Trejo realizes, like, he's getting old and, like, he's losing his powers. That was really, I just like Danny Trejo in general, but I really liked, that was what it was working for me this season, too. I liked that. I did not like the breakup cube. That was randomly just, like, I kind of wanted to be like, what is this actress just not able to come on the show anymore? Like, do they just not want her on the show? Like, because it was kind of out of nowhere. She was there. I guess they kept trying to make date nights happen. And all of a sudden it's like, here's a breakup cube. Which was funny when, you know, Wells that was trying to explain it to him?
Yeah. Yeah, because he didn't understand what it was.
Right. He's just like, what? Wells just like, being Wells is like, well, this is what it is. Blah, 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 blah. And he's like going on like it's a happy thing. And then he's like, oh, crap. In true Wells fashion. Yeah, I don't, that was weird. Sorry. The breakup cube thing was super weird. Funny and weird.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what else I did not just care for.
Well, what did you think about the new little West? The baby West at the end?
Well, I've been intrigued by baby West since before the end, because remember when Cecile started being able to hear thoughts and they realized it's not her, it's the baby?
Mm-hmm. Well,
so yes and no. It was her, but it was brought on by the pregnancy because
right.
The baby obviously has got something, you know. If it's done well, I'm excited to see where. I was just excited to see him be able to be a dad. Not again, as in like he lost his kids, because his kids are both there, but like he can kind of move on and, you know, be a married man and have another child. And so I'm kind of excited to see how teeny tiny baby.
I forget, what did they name the kid? Do you remember?
You know, she hadn't asked me. I could Google foo it.
Shoot, what was my other point going to be there? Oh, there was,
No, I don't want to know what the meaning of the name Flash is if I name my baby Flash.
And then at the end, kind of teasing us for next season, the daughter of Barry and Iris, who had kind of popped in a couple of times throughout the season, she shows up.
Right.
And apparently she's a time traveler or has traveled through time. Well, she's a speedster, so I guess that's how she does it.
Right.
So that will be interesting next season. And also sort of, I just hope she doesn't stick around. You know, like, don't join Team Flash.
Oh, that would be kind of weird. Yeah, don't join Team Flash. Like, I'm going to join my mom and dad on Team Flash. Mm-hmm. Like, that would be kind of like when you throw in a kid, like, and I don't mean they did this with, like, Cecile and Joe, because that's different. But, like, you know when shows are like, all of a sudden, here's the kid.
Right.
Like, oh, by the way, you had a long-lost kid, or here's your kid from the future, or... I don't like when it's like a consistent thing. Like, oh, well, they're here all the time now.
And
it's almost like a soap opera.
Right, yes. And I also don't want it to be a thing like something's happened in the future and I have to come back and, like, because we do that too much. I mean, that was one of the premises on Supergirl this season. And, mm-hmm. you know, we've already done that. You know, we've gone into the future and dealt with the past so much already on The Flash. So it's like, nah, well, let's stay in present day for a little bit.
I guess the only thing that I have to say about that is, like, if we do, like I said earlier, we do the stay true to comics, then unfortunately there's going to be a lot of that.
Yeah, that's true.
But we don't have to necessarily stay almost true to that. So,
well, everything they've done thus far has been an adaptation. You know, it's not...
Right.
It's not exactly comic book accurate, so
I'm
fine with that. All right. Anything not working for you?
Not working for me on The Flash. Not the best season, not the worst. It would be my number two. Supergirl probably being my number one. So not the best, not the worst. So not working for me. I don't know. Maybe. What can I complain about? I don't really know what I can complain about. I guess it's not a bad thing, but then people are going to be like, well, then why is it not number one? Not a whole lot. If they stick to what they're doing in the next season and they don't do some of the things that you and I just talked about, like, please don't do this or don't do that, then I'll be fine and this season can, like, have aired and ended and I'm good with it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if you bleed some of those things that we don't want to see happen into the next season, then it's going to make me go back and say, well, I didn't like this in that season. Does that make sense? Like, right now I'm okay with it, but if you bleed the things that you and I are like, please don't do that, into the next one, mm-hmm. it's going to make me, like, frustrated.
Okay.
And kind of go back and say, like, well, maybe they shouldn't have done this at all.
Kind of like with Flashpoint. there were a couple of villains that I didn't care for, but...
Some of the metas I guess if I... Some of those metas, I was like, meh.
Yeah.
Like, really? Evolve? Like, you created a bus full of metas, and that's what you did? Meh.
Yeah, some of those were not great.
Yeah.
But, whatever. That's fine.
Right.
They can all be winners, you know?
This is true. I mean, if you turned me into a meta, I probably wouldn't have the greatest superpower. Like, I probably wouldn't. I'm just going to be honest.
What would your power be if you were a meta?
Oh, God. So many options. Because you said meta, not a superhero. And usually people are like, well, if you could be a superhero, what would your power what would you be?
Well, I mean, sort of the same thing.
Well, sort of. But kind of when you go into metas, like, there could be a crap ton of things that made you a meta. And, like, you could have really weird powers, like... I don't know, know. I kind of would want combo powers because I don't want to just be fast if I can't be super strong, too. Because
you wouldn't be able to, like, withstand it.
This is true. Because don't get me wrong, like, while Barry is strong, I mean, like, if you think about fast, strong, everything, like, in the sense of, like, Superman versus, like, oh, he's just really fast. And I think the reason this is on my mind is because we watched Justice League again this week, like, on HBO, so we watched it again. And I looked at my husband and like, I don't know, I've been watching this stuff for years, and I was like, so essentially, Superman can do everything they can do, plus some. So, like, why wouldn't you want to be Superman? Why wouldn't you just... Because he's as fast as Barry, but as strong. Well, I mean, we saw it. So, I don't know. Can I be fast and strong at this? Is, like, is that possible?
Yeah.
Did you ask me what kind... Yeah, I'd want to be super fast and super strong. Because I feel like I could pull out some of that shit like Barry does when he's, like, reading through files and he's, like, done. Oh, my God. I could get so much... I could have my complete workday done and, like, have the rest of the day to do just, like, whatever I wanted to do at my own pace, not just my fast pace.
You're like, I could read so many comic books.
I could read so many comic books. I would never, my husband would never be like, really? We're just going to wear these clothes out of this basket of laundry. You're never going to fold them. Like, he would never have to say that again, which he doesn't actually say it. People, he says it with his eyes. I know what he's saying. Like, I could fold so much laundry.
Isn't that, like, sort of, like, sad that that's how we think?
I told you, I'd be a really boring meta, okay? Yeah. Like, I'd go do cool stuff, and they'd be like, titties in the well, boy! Oh! Like, I'd make sure those things were taken care of. But at the same time, I'd be like, yeah, I'll do your laundry. Like, I'd even start, like, a laundry service, and I'd be rich, because... Like, how else am I going to afford my super suit?
So,
I don't have a...
So, you have meta powers, and you're going to start a laundry business.
I'm going to... Well, I mean, sure. I'm probably going to think of another one, too. Because I can't afford a super suit without my business.
Oh, my Jesus.
So, what kind of meta are you going to be, Jenny? Rendered her speechless.
I think I'm gonna shoot for let's see, teleportation.
Ooh, I like that, because then you could be here instead of it taking like 2.5 hours for us to get to each other. I could be like, Jenny, I really want to eat ice cream with you, and you could be like, hold up, boo. And you'd be, like, right here. Although I am super fast now, so it doesn't take 2.5 hours anymore.
That is true.
Oh, wow.
But I don't want to have to... I don't want to have to run. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, I mean, I'm going to need to eat, like, 4 times the ice cream you do.
That is true. And that's fine.
That's okay.
I would imagine
that's the other thing. My metabolism would be phenomenal.
Yeah, you get to eat a
lot. No more bald belly.
I would assume teleportation would maybe take up a lot of calories as well.
I feel like it would too, because it takes like a lot of energy to kind of teleport. So essentially, you're kind of Doctor Strange?
Sort of, but I don't want to have to like wave my hands around and stuff. Like, I just want to be able to like just think it blink. And then just go. Yeah.
Okay. That's it? Just teleportation?
I mean, how about, mind reading?
Ooh, I don't know that I want that, but you do you. Because what if you're standing next to somebody that's, like, thinking really nasty thoughts about you, and you're like, oh! You know?
Well, the chances of that are very high. But, you know, at least I would know.
Okay.
I'm nosy, you see. I want to know.
Well, I am too, but part of me is like, the part of the fun of being the Facebook detectives that we are is being Facebook detectives. I think it would just not be fun anymore if we could just look at a person and know everything. And then they might think things I did not want to know about them.
That is true. Maybe selectively mind read.
Selective mind reading. Kind of like when, kind of like Sookie Stackhouse, where, like, she can put up a block and,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
And everybody, like, her close family is like, don't do that to me!
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay. So teleportation, like Doctor Strange, and mind reading, kind of like Sookie Stackhouse.
Yeah. It sounds really weird when you say it that way, but I'm standing by it.
But I'm liking it a lot. I'm digging it.
Now we just have to come up with names, right?
Oh, for heaven's sake.
We'll do that in our next episode. How about that?
Yeah, because I need to think about that, like, forever.
All right. So, moving on to Arrow, which I know you said you kind of arrowed out, huh?
You're very punny. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did. I'm trying to remember at what episode this happened.
Was it when Laurel was there a lot? Because that makes sense.
Well, you guys know Laurel. I don't like Laurel. I don't know why. Sorry, Katie Cassidy, because I really liked you. Like, she was in Supernatural for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, Elle used to watch Supernatural with me, and she hated Katie, like, just hated her. Like, and it didn't matter what she was in. She's like, no, yep. And I don't know why. And so
one of those faces, man.
I guess so. Because she's really nice in person, and she's really pretty. But, well, I mean, in seeing her in person, she's actually, like, because to me, I'm the same way as you are. I'm like, But then you see her in person, and you're like, oh, she's pretty.
All right.
That makes sense. But I've never liked her on Arrow, ever. And I used to, like, be like, come on, I think you're wrong. You really got it. Her character's great. She's great. And then I watched her on Arrow, and I was like, nope, I'm going to take everything back I just said. I don't know. I truly don't know. Like, maybe if I had the list in front of me, it was pretty early on in the season. I mean, they got married. I remember all that. I don't know. It's somewhere it truly lost. And I will watch it. Because there's no way I can not watch it. But this season was just, I don't know, just not my season. Because I truly was losing interest very much.
Okay. So what did you think about Kate and James? Do you remember?
I do remember them introducing Kate and James. And refresh my memory. Did they actually go ahead and introduce Kate and James at the end of last season?
Yeah, I think we.
Yeah, they introduced. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to remember at what point. I'm Google fooing while I'm thinking. Which, by the way, I kind of like the name Caden, so I was a little biased there.
That's true.
You know, I didn't pick it for my 12-year-old for no reason. not what I expected. Like, I don't know, we kept waiting to, like, actually see the face of Caden James, and so when we did, it was a little weird. I don't like how they started drawing Felicity back. And that may obviously be something that is cleared up later in the season because I didn't go any further. But I didn't like how they were kind of drawing her back into her days of bad, if that makes sense.
Gotcha. What did you think about Team Arrow? Like, what did you think about Wild Dog and Mr. Terrific and Dinah, the Black Canary.
You obviously can't see me rolling my eyes when you say her name. Like, I think I might have finally found someone I despise more than Laurel.
Really? Why?
I think I complained about this on another episode we had, where I just don't like where they were, like, trying to force, it's like they were trying to make her and Diggle have sexual tension. And I was like,
well, they scaled that back quite a bit to where
it wasn't,
it wasn't really a thing.
I don't know. I just don't like. I like her as a cop, and I like her, but I don't know. Just didn't like her as part of the whole. Like, I would have preferred to see her more in kind of like Paul Blackthorne's character, where he's part of the team, but he's not. Like, he's not a superhero. He's not a meta. None of that. He's just like on the force and on their side.
So when the team has a split and Dinah and Curtis.
That may be to the point where I was at, because I remember there being like a.
Yeah. So they, you know, Oliver kept secrets, which is what Oliver fucking does. And
Ollie's good at secrets.
And so they all felt betrayed. So they wanted to go make their own team with Blackjack and Hookers. And so, you know, there was just all this tension between the two teams, but they also had to keep teaming up to do shit to stop Caden.
Right, which is like, wanted to be like, the whole reason that you split apart is because you can't work together, apparently.
Yeah, it's like, I don't trust you. I don't want to be on your team anymore, hey, let's go do these missions together. It makes
sense. I also get that when we're watching this season and all of these episodes, that we don't know the time span going on here. Like, it could be, like, months, years, you know, that this is all developing. But part of me is, like, when they're all super pissed at Ollie, like, Diggle, they have been together for how long now? Like, they even talk about it. He's like, I've been your friend for however, I've had your back 6 years? For however many years. Right, he says, like, I wish I could remember, but he says to him, you know, I've had your back for this many years, and this is how you treat me, and we promise that this would never happen again. Like, you wouldn't do this. And the others get just so pissed, and I'm like, dude, Diggle, I see, because this man has literally had his back longer than anyone else on this show has had his back. Like, he probably haven't even had Ollie's back better or than his parents did when they were still part of all this. But these two act like, you have just ruined what we have built over years and years. And I don't know how, like I said, I don't, they never really say, like, has it been like a year? Has it been like two, like, I don't know. I'm sure if we counted back seasons, cause they say the dates, you know, it's June 27th, 2018. You know, they say it at different episodes, but they act like that he has just ruined like a 30-year friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I thought that was a little, like, especially from Dinah, I was like, I'm a little overboard. Like, how long are you really? I get, like, friendships develop quickly. For example, like, you and I have been friends, like, way longer than I thought we had. Like, well, not thought we had, because part of me thought it would have been longer than it was. And the other part of me was like, has it really only, you know, what I'm saying? But, like, there was something on Facebook the other day that reminded me, like, actually, it's been, like, a good maybe six, I mean, Caden will be in sixth grade, and I want to say he was only in the first grade when I met you. So
sound right.
I know. Part of me is like, I feel like that's longer. So I'm wondering, part of me had to like break this down and rationalize it, because that's what I do. I overthink things that make probably no hill beans to anybody else. But part of me was like, she's acting like they broke up a 30-year friendship. And the other part of me was like, wait, but like you can easily be, like, super close with somebody. So, I mean, we've only been friends for 5, maybe 6 years, but yet at the same time, like, we've developed a friendship that could easily be just, like, a friend that I've gained since childhood.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, but I had a hard problem with that, because part of me, like, the one part of me was like, really, dude? Like, it's not, like, okay. And then the other part was like, well, but I don't know. It kind of bothered me. Because like you said, you have to team back up to work together. And maybe that's why I started to lose interest. I was like, everybody's so pissed at everybody, but they've only known each other for like 2 minutes.
Yeah. It just, none of that shit worked.
It was kind of very contradictory. It was like, we got to throw this in here because if we don't, things are going stale. This is the direction we need. Like, I don't know. It hurt my brain and I checked out at that point and was like, yeah.
And I think that Caden James as a villain had a lot of potential at the beginning, but I don't know. It just got real run of the mill, you know, just like bad guy thinks, you know, our hero did something when actually he didn't. He has a bomb. It was all just like meh. Like,
and he's just like a super hacker.
Yeah.
Like, and don't get me wrong, super hackers are that could be terrifying. But like to me, I was like, he's just a fucking super hacker.
And I'd almost kind of wish that. I know this sounds bad, but I'd almost kind of wish that Oliver did kill his son. You know what I'm saying? Because then at least I could have some sort of sympathy. He would be a sympathetic villain at some point.
Right.
It's like...
So, who did... Because I don't remember that either. It was an episode I didn't watch, or... Who did kill his son?
Oh, shit. I don't even fucking remember either.
Okay, so clearly it wasn't that important.
Yep.
I don't know.
I should know this, but I have blanked on it. It's just how much I didn't care, really, at that point. And then, but I think towards the end of the season, when Richard Dragon is your main villain, then that's when things started picking up a little bit. Because I thought that he was very menacing. He, not quite to Prometheus level.
That's who killed him. The dragon killed his son, not Ollie.
Okay.
Sorry, I do remember that now.
I seriously don't.
I'm pretty sure. Because didn't they kind of sort of work together?
Yes, they did.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Somebody tell me if I'm wrong. That the dragon actually killed Caden James's son, not Ollie. Because it didn't the dragon kill... He killed Caden James, right?
Yes.
No? Yes. Yes. Maybe so? I don't remember. I could be wrong. Sorry, I checked out.
Right. And now I'm questioning all of my memories from the season. Wow, we're doing a good job. Anyway, I thought...
This is why you listen to us.
Right. I thought that Richard Dragon was really good. I really, in particular, liked his, kind of like his backstory episode, where...
I don't remember that, so you tell me.
It showed his, sort of like, he was tormented as a child by somebody in, like, an orphanage where he was, and then, it had been just one of these driving forces that turned him into the person that he is. And he tracks down this guy as an adult. And he's just like a regular dude, you know. It's like, I was a bully when I was a kid and I did terrible shit, but I'm just like a dude now. And man, he fucking sets him on fire. It was pretty badass.
I mean, honestly, I like the dark villains like that on Arrow. Like the Damian Darks of the world. I like those dark, damaged. I kind of like the kitschy ones, the kitschy funny ones on the other shows. But I like dark and kind of like fucked up villains on Arrow.
I'm calling him Richard Dragon, but...
With Ricardo Diaz.
Yeah. What the fuck? I've lost my mind.
I didn't even catch that when you first said it, and you were like,
I'm looking at his name. It says Diaz right there. I'm an idiot. Replace Diaz.
We're going to call him Richard the Dragon.
Dragon Diaz. Yeah, what the fuck ever.
The Dragon.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
Sorry.
Just turn off this episode at this point, because it's all trash.
Do not turn off this episode.
It's all trash from here on out. Anyway. Whatever.
He's Richard the Dragon, officially.
That's what it is.
Because that's what we're going to call him.
Yeah, okay.
No, anyway, but I don't care if it really is.
It's
no,
not.
According to that's a whole this, different it's not. Thing. But that's what we're going to call
it's
him.
It's a whole
so.
Different character. It just, for some reason, has got crossed over in my brain.
Part of Richard.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. And there, Diaz Dragon, yeah. It's just a big old bag of weird in my brain, anyway.
It's okay.
So, one of the major storylines was that the Black Siren kills Dinah's boyfriend. Ex-boyfriend.
Yes, I remember that.
So she wants to kill her half the time, and then they have to team up at the end, and
Which wasn't he... So didn't she find out he was alive when she thought he was dead?
Yeah, she thought he was dead, but he ended up being, I guess, double-crossing Caden James and the bad guys. Yeah. And then she sort of does the same thing because she's with Diaz for a while. And I never really could tell if they were banging or what. Because I got the feeling that they had a sexual relationship, but it wasn't outright stated. Or you never saw them in bed together, but I felt like she was sleeping with him.
Anyway. Well, come on, CW. We put people to bed in bed together all the time.
You know,
like, figure it out.
Yeah, I don't, maybe somebody else was like, yeah, it was obvious they were sleeping together. I don't know, but they didn't. To me, I didn't feel like they outright said it.
They probably didn't.
All right. So Arrow had its moments, but it was no last season for me. Last season was so excellent that this was a clear step down.
And see, last season, I was like, eh. No. It was not my favorite.
No,
yeah.
I loved last season.
A lot of people loved last season. I didn't hate it. It just wasn't my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And then this season, clearly, guys, I mentally went elsewhere. But I have heard wonderful things from Seth saying that, like, we're all going to love next season, which they may be hyping that up, but, you know.
That being said, I thought that Stephen Amell had really awesome performances, and also Felicity did as well. Like, and Diggle, I mean, there was some good stuff in there performance-wise. It's just...
Yeah, it wasn't bad acting that caused me to not be interested. It just was a whole bundle of things that
a lot of the action was really great, too. There was this awesome scene with Deathstroke where he just, like, fucking murders people left and right. It was great. I loved it. But those felt like they got few and far between as the season went on.
Arrow is usually my favorite as far as fight scenes are concerned.
Yeah. Pretty great fight scenes. All right, so moving on to my favorite show, where I just muted myself.
I was like, "Well, I lost her, but she's been losing her today. I'm just gonna sit here for a second."
I accidentally leaned on my mute button. Good Lord, we're rusty at this, huh?
It's all right. They still love us.
Sure, my favorite CW show, Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh my god, yes! I did watch all of this one, and I can't believe it. Yeah, nope. I take everything back. This one was number one.
Oh, above Supergirl?
Oh my god, yes.
Really? I am surprised by that.
I adore this show so stinking much.
It is... It's so hard to explain sometimes. Because it's just chaos in every episode for the most part. And when you try to talk about plots, it's just, sometimes you just can't, like, because it just goes so off the rails almost immediately.
This is true.
But in a wonderful way.
I think we were trying
way.
To talk about it in our group, and somebody hadn't seen it yet, and so we were just making, like, random one-liners.
Right. But... It just everything about it works. The relationships on the ship, the humor, the heart, the adventures, the fight scenes. Even the sort of like rotating cast of characters that they're doing, it just works so well on this show. It's something like, I feel like it shouldn't work. And we've talked about it several times.
Mm-hmm.
But I never cease to be amazed by it. I just think it's genius. And I'm hoping that we've not peaked already. You know what I mean?
Oh, me too. Oh my gosh.
When in the season finale, when you get a giant Bebo.
Oh my god!
I was the most delighted I had ever been. Like, this is perfect. In such a just an outrageously wonderful way.
Like, maybe think of the old Power Rangers that I used to watch, where like they would join all their things together,
mm-hmm.
and they were all a different like part of this giant robot made up of all their different animals.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it was the best.
I can't even explain it.
I don't know. How do you describe giant Bebo?
And like, why?
By the way,
why does that Bebo work? Why? How?
I need it to be purchasable. I have not been drinking, people. I need him to be a purchasable plush.
Yes, I need a Bebo in my life, for real.
Actually, that's what we call my cousin's husband, by the way. So every time they had Bebo, like, I would like my shit because I was thinking of our family Bebo.
Oh my god. But like all the places that we went this season, you know, we did pirates. We went back to the West again. Yes. We did a circus episode with Billy Zane in it.
Oh, because Billy Zane, like, bowed down to Billy Zane, to be honest with you.
So good. We did, like, an 80s one, like, with,
Shh, I found a plush Bebo.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Where?
He's like, it's on Etsy, and he's, like, $55.
Oh, shit.
But I need this.
All right, well,
I'm so sending you this link. Anyway.
All right, so we got to do the, I think we talked about the London episode, did we? I feel like we talked about that one.
London Times episode, London, did we?
With the vampire or whatever.
I loved that one.
Yeah.
I keep saying I loved that one, but I, like every week I'd be like, and I love this.
Yes. It was really hard. Like they did such a great job. There was very few dud episodes. And that's like really hard to say, I think. Especially in a CW show.
Well, I mean, I cannot complain when they keep bringing back my main man there.
I feel like maybe one of the duds might have been the Vietnam episode. Because that they did, it was somebody's dad. Rory's dad.
I don't know.
It was not bad at all.
I liked that because I think, not that Rory's not a human, but I think they're trying to humanize, like we've all grown to like completely love and adore Rory. Mm-hmm. And so now this shows like a completely different side, not different side, but like it explains just a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we get to see a lot of others' family. Like, we even got Cold's, like, some of Cold's family.
Mm-hmm.
But we've never really gotten anything of Rory's. I mean, we know about the fire and then all of those things, but, like, we've never really seen any of them before.
Right.
I don't know. I kind of liked that one. I think you could have been done maybe different. Like, I don't know.
And you got one of my favorites. When the Vikings worshipped Bebo.
Oh my god!
Like,
I just don't even know it.
How is that a thing that works on a TV show? I don't know. But to me, the fact that it does, it just makes me so happy. And, of course, we got John Constantine.
Oh, but that's what I was saying. They bring back my main man.
And with a fucking steamy episode, too, with him and Sarah, which I did not see coming.
I didn't see coming, but I don't know. I was kind of cool with it. Because he's kind of fluid like that, and
mm-hmm.
She is obviously very fluid like that, and they're like, do you know what? Screw it.
They have tons of chemistry, which she they does really with do. Everybody. You right? know what I'm saying? Like, she's just... another standout episode, the one where the time loop, where Zari gets stuck in the time loop. I thought that was excellent.
Oh, yeah, and, like, she knows what's going on, but she's, like, trying to tell them, and they keep treating her, like, dumb.
It was fantastic.
And I kind of think, because I didn't really know how I felt about Zari before that. Like, I was like, she could go. Yes. I don't really give two craps. Mm-hmm. And then they have that episode, and I was like, okay, she can stay. Like, she can stay.
It did. It went a long way in making her feel like part of the team. Really, because she had just been kind of on the outside, and you had sort of, you know, gotten okay with her, but you weren't attached to her. But by the end of that episode, you were. And I love that.
You know which one I think I liked the most?
Which one?
The one where it's all based around Halloween, and Ray disappears.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows that, like, Ray has obviously, he's meant to be in this... He's been meant to be a legend since he was a kid. Mm-hmm. Like,
that was a great episode.
I don't know. I just really liked that one. Where he's back and they're having to save Tiny Ray. If he disappears, then, like, he's never there.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine Legends without Ray.
No, absolutely not.
Like, I really just can't.
Sarah is the leader, but Ray is just the heart.
That's very accurate.
That's a great, great episode.
I like the dynamic between him and Dark's daughter.
Very much so.
Which, and they have chemistry naturally.
Mm-hmm.
How could you not when your husband and wife? Like, for real? But I want more from her. I need more of her.
What did you think about Ava? We sort of didn't like her in the beginning, and then did she grow on you? Did her relationship with Sarah grow on you?
I didn't like her in the beginning, but the episode all about her.
Mm-hmm.
Explains, because remember I was like, she's just kind of very robotic and very
mm-hmm.
So it explains, like, all the reasons I think why I didn't like her. I like her more, and it made me sadder that they weren't together.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, no, but Ava deserves this. Like, she needs this good, what could be healthy relationship. So seeing a universe with, like, a billion Sarahs, and then the people that were paid to be her parents, that was, I kind of broke for her, because realistically she's like, I don't feel like a clone. Like, I feel like myself. I feel like a normal person. Like, this, she has emotions and she has feelings, and she's just like a many of the rest of us, but she's a clone. And so then I felt really bad, because she's like, wait, so I've been lied to, like, my whole, what I remember as a life. Like, why do I have, you know, I have these memories, and this is, I have these feelings. Clearly she has real feelings, because those, like, it wasn't programmed into her to be with Sarah. You know, like, she has true feelings, and she's the real person, even though she's a clone. So I think it made me like her more, like, adding more to her story. Made me like her more.
Yeah, I agree with that. I thought they were very sweet together. I enjoyed them as a couple. And they're pretty hot, too.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, just... I can't, like, gush anymore. Very few things that I didn't like about this season.
Oh, yes.
You know, once again, you touch on the CGI.
I expect that from them at this point.
Right, right.
Like, it's been there since day one, so I feel like it's, like, if they just randomly had, like, the best CGI, I'd be like, what'd you do with my legend?
Yeah. Jonah Hex is not my favorite, but, you know, by the end of that episode, he was even growing on me a little bit.
See, that's, I think I remember that was one of the episodes that we did discussion in our little group. Mm-hmm. And I liked it. I know I wasn't the only one that did it. I liked it, and everybody else was like, eh.
Yeah. And, like I said, he's not my favorite, but it's not the worst thing I've ever seen.
Right, he's not the worst. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's very few of those that you could have as repeats.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. Sorry, I don't know why I'm yelling. But as far as, like, people that, like, we jump to in a time period to have them come back and, like, still know about the legends and it not screw up anything, you know, time-wise, mm-hmm. yeah, he seems to work pretty well that way.
All right, anything else you want to say about legends?
No, pretty pleased with that one all the way around.
Okay, let me ask you about this. Did you watch any of Black Lightning?
I did not. We have every intention of sitting and watching it. I have heard amazing things, seen small clips here and there. Looks pretty good. But you did watch it, is that right?
I watched the first 3 episodes, and I really did like it. It was just one of those things where everything piled up and I got so behind, and like even on Legends and stuff, I was so behind on Arrow, like 6 episodes behind.
And then, yeah, I was like super behind on that one for multiple reasons. Yeah. But.
So it just had to be one of the ones I let go. But with the full intention to watch, you know, when it got to Netflix,
I did the same. Like, I set them all to record, and they recorded. And then, because I wasn't vested in it yet, I was like, but I need to put my attention elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, I didn't, but it's on Netflix, so I have every intention. Like, I think Jerry even really wants to watch it. So, we have every intention of watching that one, hopefully before season 2, because it's a mid-season, so I don't have to have it all done before.
Right. Right.
October. I don't feel like it's possible it's not a mid-season, but I feel like I'd keep it as a mid-season.
All right, well, let's rank these.
Okay.
I know we've already kind of done that, but I'm going to go Legends at 1, Supergirl at 2, Flash at 3, and Arrow at 4.
Mine's going to be the same, and then unfortunately for Black Lightning is 5, just because we haven't been able to watch it. That may change, though.
All right. So, is there anything...
You didn't watch iZombie, did you?
No. Well, I mean, I did watch several seasons of it, but I'm not... I just kind of fell off on it.
I'm vested in that one. But there's only going to be one more season, which is fine. Because it's one of those shows that I knew it wouldn't be able to... Like, eventually they'd have to, like, at some point stop it.
Did you want to talk about it?
Well, not that it's a no. I'll just say what's not working for me is some of the relationship stuff they do, typical CW. What is working for me is being that it is campy at moments.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. But zombies are out in the open in this season. Like, everybody knows that they exist, and they're there. So that's a little different, because now the dynamic of the show is a little bit different. It's not horrible, but it's just different.
Okay. That's interesting.
It is.
Is there anything else you want to talk about for our streams?
Let's see. There was one I was going to talk about. What was I going to talk about?
I know we're already like an hour into this or more.
I have multiple recordings here, so I'm not sure.
Yeah.
From Dusk Till Dawn, which is on Netflix. It was on, like, El Rey or something mm-hmm. or another. Like, I never watched it when it originally came out. It is a TV show version of the movie From Dusk Till Dawn. Pretty good. We watched season 1 and 2, and 3 is where I need to start on 3.
Is Wilmer Valderrama in that?
Oh, hot damn he is.
Yeah. He looks all right in that, I think.
Oh, my God. He looks pretty amazing in this show.
Can you just think that's Fez from that 70s show?
I actually said something about that because we were watching that while my nephew was here last week. And I was like, he was standing there shirtless doing something. And I was like, it is so hard for me to sit here and go, shit, that's Fez. And then my nephew is like hardcore that 70s show. Like, he loves that show. And he was like, well, don't you remember towards the end of like the run, they had to, he was bulking up, like he was filling out. And so they had to like hide it under clothes. And I was like, yeah, but his hair and all that was still so goofy. But mm-hmm. if I remember correctly, towards the end, he did come out kind of like, hot damn.
Right.
Like, I was like, wait, that's Fez. Yeah, he's pretty fine in this show. He's a he's one of the bad guys. So he's very like evil and malicious, and he's one of the vampires. Which, if you remember anything about Dusk Till Dawn, they're a very weird version of vampire because they're like a snake like. Like when they change form, because you know most all vampires when their teeth. Come out when they elongate their fangs. There's like their face looks different, so they're very snake-like, and so their fangs are even snake-like. If that makes sense, like in nature That's when weird. They come out, it's. I mean, if you've seen Dusk Till Dawn the movie, then like it's essentially the same thing.
Right.
A lot of nudity, so do not watch in front of children, which is part of their. Because it tells the story like how they began and how they started. So it makes sense. At first you're like, is this just a bunch of nudity for nudity's sake? But it's not, because they all originate from a time where like you didn't really wear clothes to begin with. And it kind of goes back to like their whole like animalistic nature in doing everything. So there is a lot of nudity just because they're nude, and then there's other times where it's sexual nudity. There are some sexual things that, like, if you're easily bothered, as far as, like, one of the girls in this show that she's bad, but she's not. Like, I don't want to give anything away. She's bad, but she's not. Like, when you find out some of the backstory to her, and you start being like, oh, I kind of feel sorry for her now. It kind of insinuates that, like,
saying rape's not rape.
It is definitely rape. It's one of those, like, she consented because she knew if she didn't, like, it was horrific for her.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're one of those people that, like, me normally is like, oh, my God, I can't do this. Like, it was hard for me. But it's there, and you're already, like, towards the end of season two, and you're like, oh, that's why she is like that. Okay, do I stay in this or back out? You know, like...
Okay.
Yeah, so there's definite craziness in here. It's a very different kind of vampire. There's a lot of guests that pop up in it, and there's names in general that you're like, oh, I didn't know that he ever did this show. Because when Jerry first found it on Netflix, I had to, like, search. I was like, I didn't know that that was, didn't know that happened. So it's actually on, and I, like I said, I haven't finished season three, so it may be one of those that, like, season three just ends, and you're like, what the fuck? Because there's no more. Like, they're not making any, you can tell by the dates, they're like, they're not making any more.
Yeah,
it's not any
yeah.
more. Which, Jerry is in the middle of season three, and I was like, I really hope they don't do to me what they did in Marco Polo, because he was, like, truly vested in Marco Polo,
mm-hmm.
which I did not get into. I've heard amazing things about the show. He loved it. I couldn't get into it. Apparently, Marco Polo was a Weinstein, so Netflix, there was going to be another season, and Netflix was like,
nice.
He's like, I get it, but I'm pissed.
Right.
But that, we've actually been watching a lot of shows together, which, you know, doesn't happen a lot.
Right.
We did watch all of the Marvel Defenders.
Oh, good. What did you think about that?
There were episodes where I was like, what?
Yeah.
And I went into this thoroughly thinking, because I think I already told you, like, you and I have talked about this. I went into that show, like, dumbass me knew this, but then forgot and wasn't even thinking. And so when we get to the end, I was like, oh man, I wonder how they're going to figure that out. And Jerry even points out to me, like, on the screen, hidden letters, right there for you from Netflix. It's like, limited series. Mm-hmm. There is no season two.
Right. Yes.
Like, it's just what it is.
Right. Which I think is good. I think that's the right call.
I think you're going to point it out, like, maybe they'll, like, finish it out on their perspective.
Shows.
Their perspective shows.
Except for maybe Iron Fist, like, you don't need to do a second season of that.
I don't know. I remember we had that whole discussion where I was like, I'm kind of okay with it. Mm. Just I can't not giggle when he's like, I harness the power of my chi. And I'm waving my hands like Doctor Strange. I know.
Ugh.
He just, like, I'm waving my hands like Doctor Strange. I harness the power of my chi. I don't know. Like, that makes me giggle to no end. Like somebody just cracked a fart joke in middle school.
All right. Is that all?
I think so. I'm pretty sure next time we record, I'm going to be like, and.
Right. I there was another show I was going to talk about, but I think I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait till we record again because it might be done by then. So I can judge it by the whole season.
Okay.
All right. What about reads?
Oh, my God. We've already been recording for an hour, so I'll be super nice.
Because
This is where I could go on forever. I got the romance package from Audible.
Yes.
So, I think I mentioned it
you
before.
Did.
So, okay, did I? Okay. So, I explained the concept before. If you didn't hear that, either go back and listen to it or look it up. Super easy to understand. Audible explains it super well. So, I got the romance package, and a lot like Kindle Unlimited, you can have 10 books out at a time. And I actually found one where it was already compiled, so it's considered one book by Audible standards, but it's actually like all five books well, it's still ongoing, but it's like the first five books.
Okay.
In this series. And it is, obviously, it's in the romance, so it's going to be one of those that Jerry likes. I think we should start a segment, Miranda's smut novels, because that's what Jerry calls them.
Mm-hmm.
He calls them all vampire smut, regardless of if there's a vampire in it or not. He calls it vampire smut. So this is one of those, like, kind of the cover was one of those, like, kitschy funny. So I was like, why not? And I want to say the author was recommended to me because of all the other stuff that I had read.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the literal lay, or literally, excuse me, literal. It says, like, when you look at it, you're trying to decide if it's Lee or Lay. It's Lee, like a female's name, L-E-I-G-H. But there's so much laying that happens the first time I read it. Like, it's actually literal Lee, but literally romance diaries, a book collection.
All right.
By Melanie James. Okay. So there's something that totally didn't work for me this whole series, but the premise is Lee Epstein and her friends, they're single, they're 20 somethings, they're all school teachers, and they live relatively basic normal lives in a suburb of Chicago. You know, I kind of get, like, all giddy about anything that's set either in the South, kind of where I'm familiar with because I grew up in those regions, or in Chicago because that's where Jerry's from and that's where all my, like, favorite sports teams and things like that come from. So they talk about Chicago and different areas of Chicago that I'm super familiar with, and they mention the Bears several times. So I was like, okay, this is for me. So she accidentally stumbles upon a magic writing desk and becomes a witch. Like, for real, straight up, like, has powers witch. And the writing desk, she's always wanted to be a romance. She's obsessed with romance novels. Like, the first whole couple of chapters of the first book, I was like, this is a little cheesy. Don't know if I'm going to complete this. But the sex scenes are very well written. Mm-hmm. Kind of from like a, I don't know, just the way she describes them, you're like, that's pretty hot. So I stuck with it. But so she stumbles across this this writing desk, and as long as she's sitting at this desk, basically anything she writes comes true. And the reason she kind of found out is because she decided she was going to be, she's going to like stick it to the man because her favorite romance author pissed her off by killing her fit. Like, she's waited forever for the next installment in this book, which everybody can relate to this no matter what genre you read. So she's waited and waited for this next installment to the book. She gets all settled in and all cozy, and she even makes a joke. Like, she's got her bottle of wine. She started the bathwater. She's got her toy. She's... like, she's ready for this.
Hot.
And the author kills the character off. Like, boom. At the very beginning.
Jeez.
Like, literally goes into a morning, and I'm dying laughing because, like, she goes to school, and then it's apparently, like, the part of Chicago she's in, it's, like, a very small area. Like, it's a smaller area because, you know, they're all broken down into different... But this girl is dumb. She's so fucking dumb. And part of me wants to be like, you're an effing school teacher. But the whole box set thing, it's books 1 through 5. She's got this writing desk. She accidentally finds out that anything she, because she buys the writing desk because she's decided, I'm going to stick it to you, and I'm going to write my own story, and it's going to be great. So she writes this story, and then she gets a call from her mother that's like, now, we don't want you to be alarmed, but Dad's been in the hospital. He's coming home now, and we didn't tell you while he was there because we didn't want you to freak out. Mm-hmm. And her mother goes into the story of why they were at the hospital and what happened. And apparently her mom and dad were kind of sort of starting to, like, her mom and dad are very sexual, and they are open at several times with Lee about this. Their sexualness with each other. And that's why the dad's in the hospital. And as her mother's telling her, she's like, holy fuck. And I think she even says that like several times throughout the book where she's like, oh fuck. It's the story that she just wrote trying to stick it to the man.
Ah.
Like, okay. What happened in the story is what happened to her parents. But if she words things, it's literal. So at one point she was like, they get hot.
Uh-huh.
Their bodies are burning up with just, like, they physically, like, another couple have to go and be admitted to the hospital because they literally feel like their bodies are on fire.
Okay.
So, learning the ropes of, like, how to make this work. And there's lots of sex.
Well,
there's lots of, like, really fucked up things happening along the way. People getting turned into cows and almost getting castrated. You know, different things. Jesus. Like this. Do not listen to it with children present. Like, there were several times where I listened to it. I'm working because, you know, I don't have to use my headset at work as much. Mm-hmm. I'm listening to it while working, and somebody would go to call me, and I'd start to answer the phone and be like, oh, shit. Turn it off.
Oh, my gosh.
It's hysterical, to say the least, if you only listen to it for the hilarity of it, and you're not interested in anything smutty. I think it will, unless you're just, we have a few friends that are like, I just can't read sex scenes. Like, I'm sorry, I can't. But this, I don't know, it's pretty freaking hysterical. And the fact that you can get all 5 books for one download, part of the romance collection, I have no, it's 1 credit if you don't, like, you know. There's, like, here's a quick description for you. Chaos ensues when you add in 3 sexy hot roofers, magical brownies, paranormal pet shop, a hot seal, S-E-A-L, with amnesia, zompires, fur con, and Lee's psychotic familiar, Luna.
Okay.
So, right. I've read several of things, but like that one, I mean, it's 5 books, and I finished them all, and... I'm in one of those, like, now what do I do with my life? Apparently there's a bunch of spinoff books that are all part of the romance package as well.
Awesome.
That one's great.
All right. Well, you said those were Audible books, right?
They are, yeah, they're, I mean, you can get them on Kindle and all of that too, but I did it through that package on Audible.
So I have been listening to a lot of Audible as well, and I got onto a Stephen King kick, which happens sometimes, because he had a new book come out called The Outsider, and, as it went on, I realized that there was a character from another one of his trilogies, which he does that quite a bit.
I was going to say he does that.
Right. So, The Outsider, I was hooked on, like, because it at first doesn't feel, and honestly, it's very mild as far as like Stephen King goes, because you automatically think, sort of like paranormal or whatever you think of for Stephen King. And,
I don't know, would he be paranormal, science fiction, a little bit of both?
It's not, it's kind of neither. It's kind of horror. Some of my favorite stuff of his feels more paranormal, but anyway, it has a different feel, especially in the beginning, because it is a child has been murdered and in this little town, and the police are just convinced that they know who the killer is. They have, it gets very, it's very sort of like true crime feeling in the beginning of the book. Because they, you know, you follow it from the point of view of the police, and, you know, they've got this case and it's airtight. They have DNA, they have witnesses. They, you know, their suspect is the coach, you know, so he coaches little boys. And so there's some, you know, that he has plenty of means, you know, to be a sexual predator. And so they're just so convinced that they have, and I'm not going to spoil anything, but that they have this wrapped up, that they don't question him beforehand. They don't give him, they don't research him at all to like find out if he has an alibi or anything. They arrest him at a game publicly. They make a huge deal out of it. And everybody in the community knows that the little boy has been murdered. And, so it's not long before they put two and two together, and he, you know, is just flabbergasted. He's like, look, I did not do this. There's no way. He provides evidence of his whereabouts. There's just, you know, there's overwhelming evidence.
They truly just jumped to conclusions because of the evidence they had.
No, and that's what the fascination is, because the cops' evidence is airtight. Their witnesses are airtight, but so is the suspect's. His alibi is airtight. He has video proof of where he was at the time of the murder. There's no possible way that these two scenarios exist, but they do. And that is the hook of the book for me, because I was just like, what in the actual fuck is happening? Like, I was,
now my brain is coming up with all kinds of theories and I haven't even read this yet.
Right, and I'm not going to go any further than that because I don't want to spoil it, but it it does a Stephen King thing, but it's different. It's not completely what you would expect of Stephen King.
Did he write this one completely by himself?
Yes.
Okay. Because he has written with like his son and other people before. Okay.
But this one's his. And the narration is absolutely fucking phenomenal. It was another thing that hooked me. The narrator is named Will Patton. And he is just,
that's familiar.
Just, oh my God, it was amazing. Just mesmerizing. There's no other word for it. So,
did the actor Will Patton?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not for sure.
I'm going to Google foo.
Do it. So then when I finished The Outsider, and by the time I realized that I knew one of these characters, I was like, oh, I know where I knew her from. She's from Mr. Mercedes, which I had read hard copy years ago.
I haven't finished all of that, but I have too read part of it. Like, I read, like, the first half of it.
And I didn't realize that Mr. Mercedes was book one in a trilogy of books.
Mm-hmm.
So then when I looked...
That was a show.
Yes. I know. I need to watch it. So when I went back and I realized that the second and the third book, which are called Finders, Keepers, and End of Watch, mm-hmm. were both narrated by Will Patton. I was like... Okay, because I love the character that is in The Outsider. She's just such a magnetic character for me. I was like, okay, I have to go back and I have to read Finders, Keepers, and End of Watch. So I did both of those. I just marathoned them. Just amazing, amazing books, especially if you loved Mr. Mercedes and you loved the main character. And
he's narrated a lot, by the way.
So, and the villain of Mr. Mercedes comes back in the third book, in a way. And it's very Stephen King-y throughout that. The middle book is sort of different, but also with extremely engaging characters, and it's hard to describe these books because I don't want to give away any of Mr. Mercedes.
It's a good series. I said, I only read like the first half of the first book, and I want to say I borrowed it as the reason why I didn't finish, but I remember it being like really, really good.
I cannot recommend them enough, especially if you're a King fan. And especially if you love extremely well-done narration in an audiobook. It's just, like, I spent, like, weeks listening to these. And I would turn around and do it again tomorrow. It's just how much I loved it. So, so, so good. And I think the other thing I will talk about at another date, because I'm not done with it yet.
Okay. And he is the actor I thought he was, by the way.
What has he been in?
Oh my gosh, like a ton of stuff. Hmm. The most recent, he was in a TV series called Shots Fired. Hmm. He was the sheriff in that, aired in 2017. He was in The Good Wife, Falling Skies.
Hmm. Odd to
Let's see, up. He was on 24.
All right. So, I think that leads us to downloads, and this one is, I don't want to say like a cheat, but maybe a little bit of a plug for our friends and our feed, and it is called Marvel Age. It is with the Sarcastic Four, our buddies, Nick Duke, Russell Sellers, Todd Weber, and Tim Capel, and they were going through, chronologically from the beginning, Marvel history. Mm-hmm. So, not reading every issue of every book, but they have a reading list compiled, and they are kind of hitting the high points, following stories, and so that includes Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, the X-Men, I think there's some Hulk in there, and they will add titles, you know, as they go along, but it's a super awesome podcast and very, informative, especially, impressive, giving, I know, the silliness of these individuals, and they will stay as fairly on topic as they can on this show. Like, they cut down a lot of their fuck shit junk to talk comics. And it's impressive. You know, it gives me a new appreciation for their expertise and their knowledge. So check out Marvel Age if that is something that you're interested in, because those dudes know their shit and they're fun to listen to.
It's also impressive because when you get start putting more than two people and a guest or two people in general on a podcast, you know, that can be like a whole clusterfuck of sorts in its own. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to think that they're all on here and sufficiently giving you a good show with that many people is pretty impressive in itself. Even besides the content, the mounds of information that they all have combined, but it's a pretty impressive thought overall, just to say, you know, there's that many people on one podcast and it flows well and it works well, right, with amazing information at the same time.
Right. I think Nick does a very good job at being a host of that show and trying mm-hmm. to make sure that everybody gets their shit in. You know what I mean?
Like, everybody gets a chance to talk. Mm-hmm. Everybody is really, I mean, it's hard not to step over someone or talk over, you're not trying to talk over them, but it's hard not for that to happen. It happens naturally. Jenny and I do it because you have a thought and you want to get that thought out right mm-hmm. then, but maybe the other person you didn't realize is not done with their thought. And I feel like the episodes that I have been able to listen to, I haven't listened to all of them yet, but the ones that I have, they're really good at making that work. And I don't feel like it's an editing thing. Like, I think they have just, they flow, they know how to flow well together.
Yes.
And be, you know, informative and interesting and funny all at the same time. But like you said, cutting back some of that they would then have on their, because all of them have their own podcasts. So then they kind of do all that stuff on their own perspective podcast and leave that moment as a moment to teach and discuss and maybe even gain new people to our world of comics and talk right. about comics that maybe others have never been privy to as well.
Right. And I think that I think they've had maybe, what, like 5 or 6 shows by now? And
I think so.
Already, I think, pretty influential on people who maybe have never read comics before. This is a good place to start. You know, you can follow the reading list and you can follow the podcast. And mm-hmm. I think it would help. You know, if you're wanting to get in on it, this is a perfect place to start. And you can find Marvel Age on Place to Be Nation. Pop!
Where we have a veritable heaven.
We do have a veritable heaven.
Veritable right. heaven.
What you got for downloads?
So you also know that it's another like self-promotion of the Place to Be Nation pop. Because I've kind of gotten addicted and maybe a little fangirlish. Sorry, I did.
Oh, Lord.
I know, but we have another Marvel podcast masterclass. And what I kind of really dig about this one is, while there are just two people every episode, like you and I, it's been more, and then he always has a guest. And I think because I know all the guests, and I really enjoy what they have to say, and their knowledge, I don't know, that's kind of, honestly, that's one of the reasons I even started the show. Episode 1 is Russell, isn't it? And then 2 is Tim.
Mm-hmm.
So it's everybody we, so far, I mean, I'm sure at some point he's going to have to get guests from elsewhere. We're not going to know these people.
Well, I think the point of the show is it's a reaction show to Marvel Age. So.
Right. Well, no, there's isn't that a different show all entirely? Marvel Age Reaction, Marvel Age Masterclass, and then Marvel Age.
No, Marvel Age Masterclass is the reaction show to
That's
Marvel
true.
Age. So, you know, it will be Ben and one of the boys on all of his episodes, from what I understand.
Okay, I really like the show. I still have some more. I am ready for. I think it's Todd's episode is where I'm ready for. So I'm ready to listen to Todd, which is a part 1 and a part 2. But Ben is a formal Marvel staffer. So for me, he just presents a different kind of information than, and it's not that I don't want anybody to think that I'm saying our boys don't. Our boys have amazing information. It's just a different kind of information or a different angle for the information. That's what I'm trying to say. It's a different angle of the information, and they take like kind of a deeper dive into the year previously highlighted in the Marvel Age podcast. And it, I don't know. I just kind of really enjoy listening to it. It's kind of funny. I don't remember. Russell said something really funny in the first episode that kind of just caught me. Like, I don't remember what it was. There was something that I really enjoyed about that. And overall, it's a quick listen, if I remember correctly. It's not as long as some of the rest of us tend to be. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I really kind of like having something new added to the feed as well. I just randomly found it, I think, right after Tim's episode was uploaded. Mm-hmm. And of course, Tim's funny, too.
Yes, he is. I adore but me I, Tim.
I do adore, we both adore Tim. But Marvel, I adore DC, but I really have a huge love for Marvel. So when I found out they were doing both of these shows, it was just really kind of cool. And some of these are obviously things that I know about, I don't, because of the year time frames that they're looking at. Clearly, I was not reading comics yet. so, I don't know, it's kind of cool to go back and take a look at some that I have never even really read myself, even, mm-hmm. you know, not just because I wasn't alive then, but because I just never did, I just never read them.
Well, and you know, I think a huge component of this is being able to subscribe to Marvel Unlimited and having access yes. to all of these issues.
That is pretty fantastic.
You know, it's amazing, and that is a quite the subscription service that I hope DC follows along with when theirs starts.
Well, to be honest, looking at the age of the things they're, the content they're currently covering, the chances of you finding that book, unless it's a funny reprint that because it just did really well, they were like, hey, let's reprint this now. But the chances of you finding any of these runs or any of these books at all, and if you did find them, then not costing you like a car payment to get one, it is pretty awesome that you can do that through the Marvel Unlimited. I don't normally, and we talked about this earlier tonight, just you and I don't normally prefer to read comics in digital format. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but I need that volume, which I have decided I prefer volumes instead of single issues. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. And I prefer that volume in my hand to on my iPad or my phone or whatever. But the fact that you have the ability to read it, even if it is in a manner that you wouldn't prefer to read it in, is pretty phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So that's the time where I'll give in and be like, okay, I'll read it on my tablet. I mean, otherwise I would not be able to read it anyway.
Right. All right. So check out Marvel Age and Marvel Age Masterclass on the Pop feed. And, you know, give them a listen. Shout them out. Let them know that you like what
they're
like doing.
They like the tweets.
Yeah, they do.
They like the tweets.
So, we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we will be talking about a book.
A book.
A book featuring the Batman.
The Batman.
All right, stick around for that.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place for Nations, JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceForNation.com. We offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place for Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, along with Main Event, Survey Says, the Monday Night Wars, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, as well as Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network podcasts and pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Match of the Week podcasts, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Through the Years, Worldcast, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Center Stage, and Letters from Kayfabe, plus much more. And on our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as Talkin' Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, NBA Team, PTBN Play, Sunday Groove, Breaking Balls, and Lucha Undead,
as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans
with the hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and Marvel Age Podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our past podcasts, including the Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback today. All these shows, plus others, available at PlaceForNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceForNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceForNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome back to Geek and Sassy. Hopefully you have made it this far, because we had a lot of stuff to catch up on. What can I say? You haven't listened to us for a while, so, you know, just calm your tits. We won't be as long on the second half, okay? Hopefully. We'll see.
Calm your tits just made me think of a really bad joke.
Tell me.
Well, somebody was talking this week, and they were like, why do we call it boob sweat? Why don't we call it humidities?
That's not a bad joke.
Really funny. It's bad as in, like, well, it's bad as in, like, it's straight up a dad joke. But when you said calm your tits, I was like, humidities.
speaking of funny-ass words. Okay, so, you know, earlier we were talking about our kids. Well, last night, I was watching wrestling, and Ethan will come in there sometimes and watch it with me, and he hates it. And so he will, like, go on these diatribes about it. So I recorded a little diatribe. It was funny.
Oh my God, it was so funny.
And so, you know, whenever I laugh at his stuff or, like, give him encouragement, he eats it up, right? And then he takes it too far. So it's like, you know, he loves the feedback of you know, people thinking that he's funny. And then he'll just, like, try to build on his jokes. And then he gets sort of manic about it or whatever. Which, I mean, he might get that from me, especially, like, people
like loving when people think you're funny. Anyway, so
I do love when people think I'm funny.
Right, it's like a thing. Like most people are like that, but he always just takes it one step too far to where it kind of you're like, all right, it's not funny anymore, and then like you feel bad for saying that. But anyway, so then he busts out with this word, and he said, "Cunter snipe snappers" is what he said. Cunter snappers. And I said, "What did you say?" And then he like looks at me, "Cunter snappers." I'm like, "Are you saying cunt or snappers?" And he's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Where did you hear that? Did you come up with that?" And he claims he did. Now, he watches a lot of YouTube, so I'm like, "You didn't hear that anywhere?" Like,
well, I was wondering if it was he heard it in reference to Benedict Cumberbatch. See, now I'm going to say his name wrong. I say his name right every time. I was wondering if he heard it in reference to Benedict Cumberbatch, because, you know, there's all the jokes when people try to say his name, and they're like, Cumber Twaffle, Cumber Cunster Snap. Like, they say all kinds of, like, funny shit.
That's viable, but he swore to me he came up with that word. And so that is now my new favorite word. And, one of the official words of Geek and Sassy.
Kind of like the other one that we have that we like so much, fuck twat.
Yeah.
That may have been brought to you by Miranda having a really bad day.
So anyway, something that may or may not be a counter snapper is this book that we're going to talk about.
Counter snapper. Oh my God, sorry.
And it is called Batman, The Doom That Came to Gotham.
Dun, dun, dun.
I forget how we came upon this.
So I want to say when we were looking, we were in one of those like 3 a.m. Amazon searches after we had recorded like a 3-hour episode. Mm-hmm. We were like, let's look up Elseworlds and what else do we see? Right. And why are all my sentences tonight having double words? That's how you say it, but it sounds dumb. I think it was when we were doing that, when we looked up the Elseworlds, when several months ago when we talked about
Gotham by Gaslight.
We wanted before we actually talked about it, you and I were researching things,
right.
And we looked up Gotham by Gaslight, but there was a book that you had read that had two stories in it?
Yes, that was Gotham by Gaslight.
Okay, yeah. So when you read that initially,
and then we did the movie.
We started, remember, the reason that we started looking up other things is because you had read that.
Right.
And we were like, excuse me, I got the hiccups because I decided to eat caramel with ice cream during our break. But you looked that up, and somehow it led us to, you know, because when Amazon leads you one thing, they lead you to another thing and another thing.
Right.
And I want to say that's how we found this. And we're like, ooh, that could be good. That sounds different.
Right. Yes, that's what it was. And
if you want, I can read, like, the overall, like, I don't give anything away, please buy me synopsis.
Well, I feel like we're going to probably spoil it, you know. I mean,
oh, we're going to, but I'm saying, like, before we actually.
Yeah.
That's why, because it is part of the DC Elseworlds.
Right, yeah. It's an imprint. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead and do that.
All right. Because I realized, like, we've only done that on a few occasions, and we should probably do that. Okay, so the description that you are given to try to get you to purchase The Doom That Came to Gotham. Dun, dun, dun. An unholy union of a comic book icon and pure Lovecraftian horror is unleashed by writers Mike Mignola, acclaimed creator of Hellboy, Richard Pace, and artist Troy Nixie. Troy Nixie is known for Harley Quinn. And this is in this terrifying reimagining of the greatest heroes and villains in the Batman mythos. So it is Gotham City, 1928. 20 years have passed since Madman slew the parents of young Bruce Wayne, heir to one of the city's oldest fortunes. 20 years since he fled the carnage of Gotham. But now Bruce Wayne has returned, and hell has followed. apparently I can't do these. A terrible thing from beyond space and time has awakened. The lurker on the threshold has called its faithful servants and mortar sorcerers, reptile men, beings of eldritch cold and fungal horror to feed our world into its gaping maw. If Batman hopes to end the horror, how terrible must Bruce Wayne become? So, and this is collections. So Batman, the Doom That Came to Gotham is in this volume. It's going to be 1 through 3. All right. 3 collections.
So, based on that description, we were like, you know, that's cool.
Yeah. Oh, I think it was pure Lovecraftian horrors unleashed, and we were like, woo woo.
Yeah, I know you're a big Lovecraftian fan, yes. And I'm fond of it, but not as familiar with it.
I mean, the writers are good writers.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And then I like the Elseworlds as just like a concept, you know, reimagining.
Love.
So not to like bury the lead or anything, but I did not enjoy this book very much.
I did not. I think my comment to you is, I've read this book twice now, and I still don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
Yeah. So...
But I think that's part of it. Like,
yeah.
Well, in being a different time setting, obviously it opens in the year 1928, just like it said, which is automatically vastly different from what we know.
Right, and then it does this thing where in the Arctic Circle, Antarctica, actually, Cape Victoria and Antarctica. So Bruce's ship comes upon a ship. Well, they're doing like a search and rescue type thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a lot of like, it's confusing. Like the dialogue is awful. It's really bad. To the point where you're like, what are they even fucking saying?
I understood from the pictures that we were probably talking about the Penguin.
Right. And they say Cobblepot, so like you
They do. It says Cobblepot is at you, but like even before then, because your eye naturally glances at the pictures beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, before he says Cobblepot, there's a Penguin on the on the book thing that he finds there out in the frozen tundra.
Right. And
which by the way, I'm pretty sure that's supposed to maybe be Cthulhu.
Do you think so?
That giant thing that he's ticking at behind the glass. With all the tentacles.
Is that not the lurker?
Right, but it's Lovecraftian, so it's like their version of Cthulhu.
See, we've already like gone into the weeds, and like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this book starts.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. That's literally the next page, though. Right. So, like,
this book starts in the weeds.
I was just side noting, like, I think that my first thought was like, oh, that's Cthulhu, because that's where Miranda's brain goes.
So anyway, they see something odd in Antarctica, and they interact with people, and, you know, the thing is coming, you know, there's this, warning of something, that is out to get them, or whatever. So anyway, Bruce goes back to Gotham City, and he has Dick with him, and Tim, and Jason. They're all on the boat with him.
And obviously, there's an Alfred.
Right. Alfred, not on the boat with him, though.
No, but I'm just saying, right. Like... Yes, there's an Alfred.
Right. And things get muddier because the artwork is... It has,
sorry, Troy and Nixie, I don't really care for your artwork in this book.
The faces are awful. Like,
oh my God.
To the point
where... It's distorted.
Yes.
Like, who's that man coming
through
the door?
Like, you don't even know that that's Bruce Wayne.
No, I'm like, is that a smushed Abraham Lincoln?
Yes. It looks awful. It's awful. Now, some of the scenery looks okay, but when it comes to faces, it's just bad.
I do kind of like that scene that's, like, right now, I think, where it's, like, a whole page and it's showing you, like, Gotham City in 1928.
Right, yeah.
And off the harbor. Like,
right.
That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I don't know about this. It's very sharp. Does that make sense? Like, parts of it is mushed and smushed. Like,
right.
You beat the shit out of somebody and then drew their face. And then the other parts are just very... very sharp,
yeah.
Angle-wise.
And something else that is done throughout the book is characters will have question mark bubbles. Like,
I don't like question mark bubbles.
Like, there's, it's, even in the scene where his parents are being murdered, both of his parents have question mark bubbles.
Like, I just figured out what their faces look like further into the book.
What?
Like those weird, creepy... Remember when they were trying to scare you when you were a kid and they would do, like, the face melt thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, melty.
Or the face. Or the one where that person could, like, move their face around and, like,
Yeah.
I love how I do these animations, like, you guys can really see me.
But I know what you mean.
Mushy, melty faces.
Mm-hmm.
It's just weird.
It's not good.
When was this written?
A lot of the, like I said, the dialogue is just... It's not how people speak, not even in 1928.
No.
None of it sounds like anything that flows when you're trying to read it. And then especially... okay, so I don't want to, like, get that far ahead. But so they dock, and
mm-hmm.
they leave Jason on board the boat. And then...
Which, why? I don't remember that being discussed, whatever.
He just, like, makes sure everybody comes on board. And because they had found somebody frozen in the ice. That's
right.
What they found. And they kept him on the boat. And so that's why he leaves Jason behind. And so they're like, okay, they're going to go back to Wayne Manor, and they find... a body tied up, a dead body tied up. Like, as soon as he gets back, there's a dead body tied up in his house. Like, what the hell? I'm trying to make sense of this because...
It's 176 pages of Miranda and Jenny being utterly confused because they're not sure what this nonsensical shit is they are reading.
That is a very concise, accurate review of this book and my experience reading this book. Like, I'm trying to, like, flesh it out, but it's hard to,
like,
even that
dead that. Body looks like drunk Bill Murray.
It does.
I'm seeing shit in these pictures. Like, the first picture of Bruce Wayne, I'm like, somebody beat the shit out of Abraham Lincoln, and now he's walking to a door. Oh my God, there's drunk Bill Murray.
And sometimes their eyes are just black. Like, they're not even filled in with, like, eyes.
Like the weird demon child face,
yes.
The young Bruce Bacon.
Yes.
What the fuck?
So then they get this demon thing that busts in on them after they find the dead body. And, you know... Bruce Wayne must die and through death become himself. Beware, dust come alive again.
The little bubble that, like, I don't know why I giggled for, like, ever at this one, but it's like when the thing is coming in or whatever,
mm-hmm.
when the fire comes out. The guy in the bottom corner, which I don't remember which one of them it is now. It says, jumped up chimney.
Jumped up chimney.
Jumped up chimney. And I'm like,
nobody says any of this crap.
I'm on Google. Remember that wet word that we looked up in the Gotham of Gaslight that we were like,
Cockrobins.
Cockrobins, that's right.
Another official word of Geek and Sassy.
jumped up. We're going to see if jumped up chimney actually means anything. No, it keeps trying. Google is like showing results for jumped up Jimmy. No. It very clearly on this page says Jiminy.
So they had this visit from this demon thing. And then just very nonchalantly, Alfred's like, hey, guess what? Oliver Queen's a dinner invitation. Is that cool? Like, you just saw a devil, but in a dead body.
There's a dead body in your house.
Right.
And there's this weird demon that just whooshed in, and you made up some random, ridiculous, never-been-said-before phrase because you were so terrified by this. Hey, you want to have dinner with Oliver Queen? Cool, put you down for 7.
He's like, I'll go. I'll take Dick and Tim with me. So find them something to wear. Like, what the fuck? Is this really the best time to be socializing? But sure. So they go see Oliver Queen. I will say I do like Oliver somewhat in this, because he seems like a adventurer type person. Like, he's a hunter.
Right.
He has...
Which for the time would make sense.
Yeah, that makes
was
sense.
Like in the 20s, if you had money, you hunted. And as much as people are going to be like, I can't believe that. But like, if you had money in the 20s, you went on excursions and you hunted rhinoceroses. That's how you showed you had money.
Right.
That was like your status quo was to like, oh, what do you mean you don't have a rhinoceros in your house? I do. Guess you don't have money. Like,
there's literally a rhino in this panel, and there's a moose on the wall, and there's a leopard
and a bear
on the floor. Yeah,
There's several heads of things that cannot be made out because once again,
the art sucks.
He does not excel in this faces. There's also a gorilla.
Yes.
Is he alive?
The way he's posed, it looks like he's a seductive gorilla. You know? It looks like he's trying to come on to me.
That or like he's... I can't tell because once again, faces. That or he's turned around like, what you talking about, Willis?
That too. I just... Yeah. And then Bruce looks sort of like Dean Martin. A little bit.
Once again, but maybe hit in the face with the bat?
Right, yeah. Or like Joe DiMaggio? I don't know.
Lots of names for these faces.
And so they talk about... They name drop all these Batman villains.
Oh my god, so many.
And
they talk about Harvey Dent.
And they talk about Kirk Langstrom.
Mm-hmm.
And... you're supposed to, I guess, pop for all these villain names, but
that'd be fine if it weren't like, oh my god, I'm looking at this picture right now, and I'm sorry, it looks like one eye's going to the right, one eye's going up to the left. But yeah, like, name dropping for, like, getting
just
them in there.
Just to plug them in there. Right.
Just to make sure we touch all our bases, I guess.
And then, so, Bruce puts on his god-awful Batman suit.
Well, it is 1928, but I just really had hopes for there's a chance to have a super awesome steampunk Batman.
Exactly.
Like, you have everything tossed in your lap and handed to you on a silver platter to present the world with the most badass steampunk Batman, and you've given me a blob in the sky that may be a ghost.
He's wrinkled. None of it fits. He has this terrible belt. Even his bat ears look crooked and floppy.
His bat ears look like a Boston Terrier's ears.
Yeah, it's just not.
They're too tiny for his head, and they're kind of like lopsided. They're straight up, but like one goes back further. It's like when you go get your ears pierced, and they like do one higher than they do the other.
And then this character, instead of a question bubble, he has an exclamation point bubble.
A giant exclamation point. You know, I will say what I did like about this book, because it's cheesy and I love this. So when they're doing things and it's like, poof, wham, bow, whap. Because it made me think of like the old Batman that is like mine and Caden's favorite. Like the old school.
Like Batman 66.
Yeah, or like on the TV, the original right. Adam West Batman. Right. Yeah, so I did like that little homage there where it's like, poof, wow, because I heard these sounds in my head that would happen when they said that.
Yeah.
I liked that.
So he goes to Lang. I'm trying to like give some basis of story, although if it just falls apart.
Yeah, whose house is he in again?
Langstrom's house, because that was who was dead at his place.
That's right. Which I don't remember how he got there. Was that in the conversation with Ollie that's how he just?
Yeah, I think that's
covered.
Right. Yeah.
That it was Langstrom that was dead, or maybe he already knew that was Langstrom when he saw him.
I don't know. And then, so then this mysterious woman shows up, and she's talking about a book, and it's called The Testament of Ghoul. And you're like, okay, I wonder who that's supposed to be talking about.
I have no clue. Mm-hmm.
And then you see Batman on top of a telephone pole, like, intercepting calls, apparently.
Which, those telephone poles, or those poles in general, pretty sure that's not what they looked like in 1928. But, yeah, okay.
I guess that's, like, the version of surveillance that you can do in 1928.
Well, yeah, you could... That's why they say wiretap now,
mm-hmm.
because you could literally tap into a wire,
right.
And you could hear. It's kind of like when we first remember when we first had port cordless phones in your house,
mm-hmm.
And I know for us, especially having the scanner, the CB radios, and all that, because my dad was a police officer, you could sometimes pick up other people's phone calls or like the stuff that was supposed to be coming across the scanner.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like that, where you could physically hear someone's conversation because you accidentally were like tapped into their line.
Yeah.
So I get it. Like, I get that, but still I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. And are those supposed to be like I guess he's got like early version night goggles.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that looks vaguely steampunkish.
True.
But, I don't know. But, yeah, he has some sort of comm system. Because Dick's wearing, like, something on his wrist. And Batman's voice is coming out of it.
So he's ahead of his time.
That's weird. So this lady shows up and she wants the book. Batman busts in, and she's just like nonplussed. She's like, whatever, taking this book. And then another fire demon shows up.
Which is odd, but okay.
Yeah. And then, like, the fire demon tells him what to do?
I think so.
Bruce Wayne, be gone from here. Recover the book if you can. When all is done, if you live, you may see me again in all my glory. Okay. So she sashays off with this stupid book.
And her face has been covered, mm-hmm. which, by the way, faces are badly drawn anyways. Mm-hmm. It's not like, but yeah, her face has been covered this whole time, so obviously.
And then Batman has a gun.
Which, once again, tell you right now, as someone who owns a gun, that is just not 1928 technology that he is holding in his hand.
No, it looks so odd. And it's even on the cover, it looks so weird.
I think that's part of the problem with me for this book is that there are several things that don't hold up to the timeline.
Right. And that's like the friggin' least of my worries on this book.
Well, it is, but...
But it is annoying.
I'm bothered by this. Mm-hmm. Yes, I said bothered.
Bothered.
I am bothered. I'm beyond bothered. I'm annoyed. Just, yeah.
So all throughout the book, you know, different characters will say, like, the thing is coming, the thing is coming.
Right.
They do this thing where they go, they flash back to the boat.
Mm-hmm. To the ship there.
Right. And then something.
Which he knew that was coming when he left somebody on board. Right. Like.
And then Jason seems aware of something that is not happening.
Mm-hmm.
That is not going well. And he ends up dead.
Which was weird, because it was like, here, you stay on the boat, and then we're going to wait, I don't know how many pages, and we're going to come back to the boat, you're going to be super aware of what's happening, and you're dead.
Right.
I'm making funny faces over here, guys.
Right. And it didn't really show him die.
He was like frozen to death, wasn't mm-hmm. he? Yeah.
I guess. So they find him dead. Batman doesn't seem broken up about it at all.
And then here comes, you guessed it, folks, because he's frozen. So who's it gotta be?
Who is it?
Oh, it's Mr. Freeze. I know, I was like, really? Didn't see that coming.
I mean, like, this is just awful.
Too much tried to be crammed in this book so far. But it wasn't, like, adequately.
And we didn't talk about it. Like, I didn't know how you felt about it. And as I'm reading it, I'm just struggling. And I'm like, oh, I picked up my phone to text you like 800 times, like, can we just do something else? Then I was like,
well, no.
Then I was like, I don't know if she likes it or not. And if she does like it, maybe that would be interesting to, like, debate it. So I'm like, okay.
I mean, I had parts I did like.
Right.
So I didn't want to, like, tell you, hey, let's not review this because I don't like it. Because I think it's...
I wish you would have. It would have saved me a lot of time and effort reading this fucking bullshit.
Yes and no. So my whole theory on reviewing a book is both people may really love it. Both people may really hate it, or you may have one that likes it or hates it. But there's going to be things that, like, you didn't bother you or you didn't care about that bother me, and vice versa. Kind of like me being like, what is gun? No, doesn't work for me. And you're like, yeah, it's not even what I was worried about. Like, you know?
Yeah. I just prefer to talk about shit that I like. But, you know, at least it'll save somebody from picking the shit up.
Here's the thing. I love the concept. I obviously love the characters. You and I both do, or we would not continue to return to Batman every time we get a chance. Mm-hmm. So the concept is great. The characters are great because they're already there for you. But the character concept, which I may get argued with this character concept in this book is not your traditional character concept, I guess?
No, they...
Like, it's a different... The character... The words are just... The eloquent words are just eluding me.
They try to take a Lovecraftian... frankly, from what I read, a shitty idea to begin with this lurker on the threshold idea. Which
it was poorly executed.
Right. Well, it came from, like, a book of short stories that were not very good to begin with. So, it just didn't work. Like, I can't even tell you what happened in this book. And I'm looking at it.
I'm looking at it, and I've read it twice.
Struggling. And that's just not a good sign. Maybe it's us. Maybe our brains just are not comprehending this.
No, I wanted this to happen. Right. I truly wanted this to happen, but...
Because it goes on to resurrecting Ra's al Ghul and because his daughter resurrects him with the testament of Ghoul. Right.
And which makes sense. Okay, it's like his little grimoire thing. You need it to resurrect him. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and then it's not very well drawn, and it's very expository because he tells the whole story of Roz. But, you know, oddly enough, the expository dialogue in this section of the book helped because I was like, look, at least she's flat out telling me what's happening right now.
Right.
And as much as I normally do not like that, I actually found it helpful. And that's also not a good sign when you're leaning on the exposition to like get you through it to try to understand what's happening. This is also not a good sign about the writing. So once you're like,
well, you toss in like a whole nother secret society in there.
Yes.
Okay, sure.
Which does like the back half of it. And I just keep. Okay, I will say, okay, I do have one praise of the book. And that is towards the end when we meet Two-Face. He has been subjected to poison ivy, and half of his body grows into this grotesque, like plant, fucking gross looking creature. I don't even know.
It almost looks like it has a bunch of more eyeballs. I don't think those are eyeballs, but that's kind of what I was like.
Like, it's super gross.
It's like growth.
Yeah, it is Lovecraftian in
it
nature.
Is. And, like, no, and
it looks like it, supposedly.
Yeah, and sorry, that page, like, because he wasn't good at faces, that was a good, like, that was a good whole page, drawing-wise. Mm-hmm. It worked.
Yeah. Yeah, all of the Two-Face stuff I did, like, because it, like, it looked legit creepy, and then, like, eventually, his, like, that creepy part of his body forms, like, this doorway that Bruce has to go into to fight the guy at the end. It looks super creepy. Like, this was the best art to me. Of everything. And, just the thought of, like, him having to walk into this thing that has grown out of Harvey.
So weird.
It's pretty gross. But I was like, okay, I see that. I like that.
I do like that because that works. Like, yeah. If you're thinking kind of horror, that works. Like, he just had these disgusting growths that if it were on TV, I'd probably be like, yeah, I don't want to look at that. Like, I think I'm done.
Yeah,
and then you got to walk into it because it's a portal. Like, yeah, that's pretty good.
But
that's done.
But then when you get in there, it's just more of the same, like, summoning of things and demons that you don't understand why. And then earlier, Ollie had these magic arrows, like, from Saint Sebastian. So that was the only weapon that could kill whatever was happening. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, that was fine. Just random. It's like, hey, and by the way, I have these arrows, and they're the only things that can kill him. And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of
weird. The silver bullet gimmick, I guess. Yeah. Like, I feel like we're doing, like, a bad job, but I hope people realize it's not from lack of trying to, like.
I literally tried to read this book twice. As a matter of fact, I did read it twice. I read the whole thing twice.
It's just what happens when you review something that sucks, Awesome.
Well, see, the first time I read it, I was on all that medication because I got, remember I got, when we first were going to do this, I read it. Did you, you hadn't read it yet.
No.
Like, we got behind. So I read it, but I was sick in April after coming home from Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, the first time, I don't remember my opinion on it. But when you have strep and flu, things get a little murky. So I was like, okay, I'm going to read it again, because one, it's been a while, and two, like, I don't truly remember how I felt about this book.
I feel like this book gave you the flu and also strep throat. Does that feel accurate?
Well, I would say that if it hadn't been confirmed, I got it from the airplane, and then I read this book while on medication because I had those things.
Mm.
But it sure didn't make my miserable life at that moment any better.
I bet not. Or, maybe you were fucked up from the drugs, and you're totally into this.
I may have been, because like I told you, I genuinely did not remember how I felt about it. Looking at this weird bat nose on this creature is telling me, I probably was so fucked up that I was like, yeah, right on, you need a nose job.
I can't imagine reading this when I'm high. I would just...
Well, you have to remember how many drugs I can't take because I'm allergic to codeine. So yeah. I'm like, not entirely high. I'm just like in that glazed state of like, I need sleep and I'm running a fever of 103. So I'm pretty sure, because it's all coming back to me now. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that weird face from that creature.
Okay, so in conclusion, Batman turns into an actual bat.
Which I'm okay with. Because he is Batman. I was waiting for it to happen at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, why the fuck not, you know? You've already done all this other shit. But he looks real gross. Like, real gross.
He fits well with that weird demon door he went through that the wart gropes out of. What's his name? Which, by the way, on the cover, now that I look at it, do you know this whole time I thought that was just a head sitting on like a platter thing,
yeah,
and I now realize that's fucking Mr. Freeze?
Yeah.
Interesting. I was like, man, I dig this cover, because it's all kinds of weird. Like, there's, like... tentacles, because everything Lovecraft has something that has tentacles, and penguins, and there's a head on a platter. Dear Lord, it's not a head on a platter. Oh, fuck, something's wrong with me. Maybe that's why I always thought it was a head on a platter. It was the drugs.
It might have been. It does look like that, though.
Although, you know, the bat noses, like, weird me out, but really, bat noses are super weird.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
They're, like, really fucking weird. Like Voldemort's nose.
Or lack of.
That's what, I know, that's what I kept thinking of when I saw that. I was like, oh, okay.
And then when Bruce as an, a literal Batman, comes back out of that portal, there's just this, like, melted version of, because everything's been on fire, melted version of Harvey, and it's just this grotesque panel, and it says, is everything all right now, Bruce?
And I will say, yeah, that panel is pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, if you'd had more of that throughout the book, I'd probably really liked this.
Yeah. Like, I'm not against, like, something looking gross. Like, I actually like it, but you just have to do it well.
Well, no, I agree. But if there'd been more of that... which I don't know what that says about me. But anyway, like that panel and then the one with all his growths and stuff, they were done better than others.
Right. Oliver's face is probably the best done face.
Oliver's face is the best done face. It still is not great.
It's not great, no.
It's like, I don't know what it's like. Let me get to an Ollie face here.
It looks like Oliver, you know what I mean? Like,
right, you can look at that face and you can tell that they intend that to be, mm-hmm. like, since you know Oliver Queen is in this book, if you look at that, you're like, oh, that is definitely Oliver Queen. But you look at the rest of these and you're like, is that Batman?
Yeah.
Is Alfred? Is it drunk Bill Murray? Is it Abraham Lincoln smashed with a bat? I don't know.
And I get that they're Elseworlds, but still, you should still be sort of able to recognize. That's,
well, I mean, I'll tell you one of the other
worlds. At the very least, Bruce.
Is the, I guess it's supposed to be Ra's al Ghul?
Yes.
Yeah, his face, when he's like almost foaming at the mouth, like he's got some sort of weird disease.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, I can legitimately tell, like, hey, that's a really pissed off face.
But like, the daughter, is it Talia? Or is it, yeah, it's gotta be.
I don't remember them ever saying her name, but I'm going to assume it's Talia because...
But she doesn't look like anything that I would relate to Talia.
Her face is covered half the time again.
Yeah, she looks... Yeah. She looks like some sort of movie star from the 1940s.
I could... Yeah, I could see that.
All right. You want to wrap this up? Or do we have more shit to pile on it?
The page where the boom and the everything's on fire?
Mm-hmm.
It's done pretty well.
Do you get the feeling that... I guess they said Bruce died in the fire? And that's why he's not around? Because I don't get the feeling he can change back to Bruce from his bat form.
Right.
Oh, because it says, at the end, it says, Mr. Wayne was, quote, injured in the fire. He has withdrawn from public life.
Well, because now you look like a giant bat, which you're now man bat.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
That is the only problem I truly have with Batman turning into a bat, is that essentially now Man-Bat.
Right.
Which may confuse some people, but that's a thing!
It's a thing.
Real.
Yeah.
I'm not making this shit up. Mm. Man-Bat is a real one. But yeah, because Tim Drake is the acting head of Wayne Foundation now.
Right.
Which...
He's a child still, but sure, let's do that.
It has a grown-up's weird face. Super creepy there.
I think Dick died somewhere in there, too. I feel like he was killed at some point.
Oh, yeah, because that's the Batman as a bat on the very end.
Mm-hmm.
Because he says, and God help you all if ever again have need of me.
Mm-hmm.
So is he, like, a weird bad guy now?
Oh my god, what a shitty book. Okay, do not...
I feel like this book had so much potential. You could have totally made an amazing story. I get that you're saying it's a short story you didn't care super much for, but it still had an amazing potential that was not executed well at all. It's Lovecraft, so I was thinking to myself, how do you get this wrong? Oh, you can horribly get this wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know what? Maybe the story would have been better if the art was better.
At least, at the very least, I mean, sure. I mean, the story's not going to be any better, but at least it would look better.
Well, I mean... It's kind of like us talking, getting all excited about narrators earlier. So, a narrator can make or break a book. When you're reading a graphic novel or a comic book, or the art can really jack up what you're reading.
Yeah.
And let me just say, I feel really bad shitting on Troy Nixie because I'm familiar with some of his other art, and it does not suck. And also, I did the digital version. Mm-hmm. And so, like, in the back, and you got the printed, so I don't remember. There's, like, pencil drawings.
Yeah.
Concept.
Yep.
They're good.
They're all right.
Like, they're, well, I mean, if you put these things side by side, mm-hmm. you know, like, this is good, this is not. They're not the best, but you know what I'm saying? Like, this is good, this is not. Mm-hmm. This was just, I don't know at what point where the art fell flat. I mean, Doug, most of the stuff that he does draw, because I've seen some things that he draws where he purposely does weird faces. So I'm wondering if he's just a weird face guy, and maybe there are people, maybe there are fans of his out there, they're going to be like, you just don't understand the concept that he was trying to convey. You are right,
yeah.
Fan. You are right. I don't think that in this instance, with his penciling or drawing ability, that maybe he was the best choice for this project.
What have you seen of his that is good?
Well, I looked up some of his things when I first started reading this, mm-hmm. and he does do a lot of, like, very kind of horror-tastic different things.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a book that I am not familiar with, I have never read before at all, but he did some writing and maybe even some artistry work where I did kind of dig the art. Wasn't horrible, but if that makes sense.
What was it?
I think, yeah. I had it put down here.
The colors are okay.
I think it's called Jenny Finn. I think it's another horror Lovecraftian style. Oh. And maybe that's why they chose him, is because... I'm saying maybe they chose him because he'd done that type. I don't know when that other book was, like, published or written. So maybe they picked him because of his ability to do that in other books. I don't know. I found a very Lovecraftian style picture that I believe belongs to him. It was from the Jenny Finn, and it's different. Don't know that it would be for everybody, but I really liked it, and I was like, oh, okay. That's cool. But, so, I mean, if you research and look at some of his other work, it's not like... So he does do weird faces, but he did Vinegar Teeth, which I've never read. And that's what I was telling you, like, that long, weird face.
Oh, yeah.
But he does do a lot of Lovecraftian, or, like, the person's face is changing into tentacled something. And it's good art.
Hmm.
So, just not sure... Yeah, so, like, his Jenny Finn stuff I've looked up, like, I may have to read that, mm-hmm. but that was good. Like, well done.
All right, so, in conclusion...
I do not recommend this book.
We do not. I don't know if that was clear during the last hour. But,
well, we did... Last time we started giving thumbs up and deciding like how many thumbs up it gets. So it gets I'll give it a sideways one thumb. So it's like not half up and it's not half down. This is like, is the glass half empty or half full? I give it half a thumb. I'm serious right now. I give you half a thumb because your concept was enough to draw me in.
No.
So I give you half a thumb, but you lost me, so you don't get the other thumb. You get no thumbs from Jenny.
No. You can put your thumbs up your ass, because this book fucking sucked.
It gets 0.5 thumbs out of 4 from Geek and Sassy. Mm. If you would like to spend the money on this book, then you may do so, but I feel like you were warned and can't get pissed when you're like, I want my money back.
Or you can come dig it out of my fucking trash can, and it'll be free to you.
Free! You heard that, right? Free! One volume of The Doom That Came to Gotham.
All right.
We can't even give. We can't even have a giveaway and be like, "You've won this book," because I'm like, that would be like the shittiest thing that we could do to a listener. Just be like, "You won this book. Now don't fucking read it."
I have a joke that I can't say, and I really want to say it, but I'm not going.
Oh my God, just say it because no, we are E for explicit, so it's not like
we're it's just too inside baseball. Okay.
Oh, gotcha. Makes sense. Okay.
All right. So I've not considered my nerd eye candy person.
Oh my God. This is so been like I've been ready for this.
Let me think. You go while I think. Do the thing though.
How do you want me to do the thing this time?
Like Lovecraftian style.
Which, when you say Lovecraftian style, for some reason, do you know where my brain went? Remember when PBS on Saturday nights, or before they had like Sherlock and things like that, and the Masterpiece?
Mm-hmm.
And he would sit in his chair and be like, "Welcome to Masterpiece Theater."
Yeah. Do it like so, that.
That's how I feel when describing Lovecraftian stuff. So, welcome to Nerd Eye Candy of the Moment.
Nice. That made me feel better. Thank you. Because I was pretty pissed.
Welcome to Nerd Eye Candy at the Moment. We talk about a relationship.
Sounds like NPR.
I love NPR. I could be on NPR. The problem is I say fuck too much, and I talk really loudly. This is really hard for me to do right now.
You would never make it on NPR.
No, because... They would be like, today on NPR, my name is Miranda Berthold, and I'm here to... Stop it! I can't even do it! I'm here to interview Jenny Smith. Jenny, welcome. Welcome. How are you? And then you'd look at me, and I'd be like, fuck!
Wait, do it again. I'll try. Okay, hold on.
Okay, it's okay. You don't have to. I can't be NPR.
We just can't. We're too silly.
I can try. Hold on. Great. But I feel like I need the microphone like all the way in my mouth. You watch when they do the live recordings of those. They're all up on the microphone like this.
Oh, shit.
You can always tell when they have, like, an intern or something, because out of nowhere they're like, welcome to NPR, what's today? And you're like, whoa, fuck, calm down! Uh-oh. Getting fired today.
Oh, shit. Oh, that was awesome.
I have to start interjecting NPR segments.
Thank you for that, Miranda. I needed that laugh.
Thank you. I'm here all night, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, only until about 1 a.m.
Because
I'm old.
After that, you can go fuck yourself.
With your half a thumb.
No, with all your thumbs.
Well, no, never mind. That's going to sound real. Never. My brain just went. Well, we told them to go fuck themselves, so I feel like with all their thumbs might give them some pleasure. Half a thumb ain't going to do shit for you.
Well, I guess it depends on your prior experiences. Like, if it's okay, your first time with a thumb, then half a thumb might be adequate. But if you've done thumbs before, then it's probably not going to do much for you. Like, you should work your way up to, like, to, like, shit-covered speculums.
Oh, my God. That was so loud. Somebody just turned their volume completely down, and it's like, oh, I can't hear out of my ear now. That's why I can't be on NPR.
Yeah.
We have totally just what. We can't
there was a
go,
train on track
we can't
A,
go
and
this
was
long.
On track B, and we went over to D and started dancing in the field.
We can't go this long again without podcasting because it's just like, you know, we forget. Like, we have to stay on some sort of schedule from now on. It doesn't work otherwise.
Okay, so that means I'm not allowed to get sick anymore.
No, we can't go anywhere. We can't get sick. We can't move. We can't have kids in the hospital or fucking birthdays. Just fuck all
your
of that.
Your dog can't vomit and shit all over the floor.
Podcasting is all that fucking matters anymore, okay? Just put the rest
I'm gonna
of your
shit I'm going to start hashtag, like, every time I post something on Instagram, I'm going to start being like, podcast for life. But I just did it like in game symbols, like for life.
Because this is what happens when we don't stay focused.
Train has been derailed, folks.
Oh my god. Jesus.
Okay. So, welcome to Nerd Eye Candy the Moment, where we pick a topical, either in pop culture, random world, whatever meets our jollies for that week. And we discuss why they are the hottest thing for us at the moment. Yeah.
That was very good. I think you might have saved the segment just with that.
I try. So you still need to think about Nerd Eye Candy?
Yeah, I do.
So, there's this thing going around, and it's starting to drive people probably crazy, where police officers are doing lip sync battles.
Oh, yes.
So, some of them, they're funny. Some of them are okay. There are some officers that have done some, like, serious ones, which I applaud. And then there are some officers that just make you want to get pulled over and ask what you could do to get out of your ticket.
Hot.
Hot.
What would you do to get out of a ticket, Miranda?
Miranda's always gotten out of tickets just because, so I don't know.
I'm saying, with the hot cop. What would you offer?
Oh, I don't know, because technically that would be cheating. That would be wrong.
I'm just saying if it wasn't.
Oh, hypothetically speaking, if I, I don't know. I think it would depend on his hotness level.
Well, the hot cop that you have in mind for this segment.
Well, I don't do thumb stuff, so no thumbs. I had to. I'm sorry. It was right there. It was just right there. It was on the table. It was just there for the taking. Jesus Christ, I really don't know.
Thumb stuff. Good God. Okay. All right.
I wish I'd written down what police department this was.
You read all these smutty novels, and you can't tell me that you would just give them a blowy on the side of the road?
Probably not.
All right.
Sorry.
It's fine.
That, like, makes my gag reflexes automatically go...
A hand job.
Possibly.
All right.
Possibly.
All right.
I'd be a bad person to be like, what can I do to get out of this ticket, sir? Because he'd say something and I'd be like, oh, I do not do that.
Just give me my fucking ticket, bitch.
I'd be like, just give me the ticket.
You'd be like,
for fuck's sake.
You'd be like,
what kind of animal are you?
I can do your laundry.
I
have a laundry
service. Fast, clearly, you see. I can do your laundry like nobody's business.
Getting
and then Judy be in the passenger seat going, he ain't thinking good things. You might as well just take the ticket.
Lord. Oh, honey.
If I could go that fast, I wouldn't get pulled over for driving that fast, though.
That's true.
I don't know. But as soon, like, I saw this, and it just, I don't know, I was like, that is my nerd eye candy.
All right.
The men in blue, I salute you.
But not with your thumb.
Not with my thumbs. Well, I mean, I give you thumbs up in maybe another way, but not in anything sexual. You know who's rolling laughing right now?
Nobody.
Susan.
That's true.
Hi, Susan. We love you.
I doubt Susan's even listening to us, and she loves the hell out of us. So, I'm just saying, I would not be surprised if she turned us off by now.
No, what happened is Susan is listening to us, and James came in the room and was like, what the fuck is wrong with those two? And he turned us off.
That's probably it.
Oh, that's it.
All right, I still have no fucking clue.
Oh my god, do you have donor eye candies?
Let me consult my Instagram.
Consult your Instagram, and while you consult your Instagram, I want to bring up a question that is going around crazily in the Heaving Bosoms group, the HBs. Mm-hmm. So Aaron and Melody ask all the HBs, like, who is the ultimate Chris? And obviously, they mean, like, Hemsworth, Pine, Pratt, or...
Evans.
So, like, who is the ultimate Chris, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this was a really hard decision for me, but then somebody took them and merged them all together, and that was not something I wanted.
No. What was your answer?
So, you could vote, and I voted for Pratt and Hemsworth, because I was breaking the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, the poll allowed you to vote more than once. So, technically, is it breaking a rule if it allowed you to do it?
Yeah, I mean, that's not the point of a poll.
I don't care.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying, too.
Chris Pratt is the correct answer.
Chris Pratt would be the correct answer. But there are things I would probably make exceptions for and do to Chris Hemsworth.
With your thumbs?
Maybe.
Fuck.
Maybe.
Half a thumb, then.
Possibly. I don't know. And then the argument goes to say, Chris Hemsworth with long hair or short hair. That's a big difference. That's two different people.
Mm, agreed.
That's two different people.
Mm.
Let me just clarify. Chris Hemsworth with short hair.
Short hair, yeah, probably.
I think I'm the only one in the theater when Ragnarok cut his hair off. There were women that, like, audibly got upset. Like, you could hear them when he had his hair cut. There were women that were like, no! And I was like, and then he comes out for the first time with like, his hair all cut off, and I went, oh, Lord.
Yeah, it's like, once you see it, it works.
It works. Yeah. And once again, it plays into the, I have a type.
Yeah, this is true.
Have you thought of anything?
I think I already named her one time. So I'm
which one?
Katie Waltz from Legends.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Because I think I mentioned that, like, yeah, girls are pretty, but she's one that, like, I might make an exception for.
Mm-hmm. And a lot, well, I don't want to get into it because I already named her. And I don't know why I'm having so much trouble. I think it's because I can't stop thinking about thumbs.
That was pretty.
Okay, well, I don't think I've named him before. Have I named Paul Rudd?
I don't believe you have, but that is an excellent choice.
Well, I saw Ant-Man and the Wasp this past weekend, and I loved it.
I'm going this weekend.
And I think you'll love it, too. But Paul Rudd is, like, quite possibly one of the most adorable people that has ever walked this earth.
somehow does not age. And
no, like, I seriously need to know where we can buy the stuff that all these actors and actresses are drinking or smothering on their, or like slathering on their faces, not smothering, slathering on their faces, because I want to look that good as I age.
He's just so charming and funny, and he's awesome. Like, I just love him so much. I can't, and I'm embarrassed that it took me so long to come up with his name, considering I just saw the movie. But I felt like I had said him before. Anyway, Paul Rudd.
I truly don't think that you have, but if you have, I'll allow it.
All right. And go see Ant-Man and the Wasp. It's really good.
And if you've never watched Wet Hot American Summer, because he's also in that, yes. I highly recommend watching him in that.
Or I Love You, Man, or fucking any of his fucking movies. He's just, he's good in everything. Let's do the plugs and get the fuck out.
So, reminder, I don't know, it's not a reminder because I don't think I told anybody this. Jenny has been on Sunday Groove before. It's a current episode just listed. I am a guest on Sunday Groove where we actually kind of talk. We talk 90s music, but we talk about Geek and Sassy for a good chunk there, and we actually talk about Nerd Eye Candy. So check that out.
Sweet.
And thank you to everyone who has been kind of corresponding with us via Facebook. Jenny and I even had a conversation about this, like, completely blown away with the interaction that you guys are giving us, even since we've been kind of on hiatus, and I'm pretty sure that's not the first time Jenny and I have said, we're back from our hiatus.
Right.
We're going to probably say that a few more times in our list, so be prepared. But huge interaction with you guys. It's phenomenal.
We love
it. Now I got to find a way to, like, intermingle some of these interactions into the show here.
Mm-hmm.
But I truly do appreciate that, because as podcasters, you hope there are people out there listening, and you hope there are people out there engaging, and sometimes it doesn't happen. Of course, Jenny and I have said it before, we'll continue to record just because we like doing this, even if we had one listener. But I don't know, that was kind of very heartwarming to see all the interaction kind of pouring in, just from various different, like, what would your name be if you did this? Or what's some the show you've seen every episode of? Thank you for interacting with us on Facebook. It's been a lot of fun. We're very thrilled about that.
We are. Maybe we'll post something like, what would your meta or superpower be?
Oh, yeah, what would your power be?
What would you do for a cop who pulled you over? Or
yeah. Because we've tried saying or asking those in show and then have you answering later. And some people do. Some people tweet at us, which is, like, I want to say at Jenny, technically, because she's the one. I try to let her just answer, and sometimes I'll accidentally see tweets, and then I'm like, oh, crap, now Jenny doesn't know that was there. but I think the reason maybe people aren't interacting when we actually ask a question in show is I've been told by a lot of people, like, they're listening to it on their way to and from work.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, like, by the time you walk in the door and you put your keys down and you're like, oh, I'm gonna tweet at them my answer. And then, like, you make dinner and you watch an episode of something and you wash a load of laundry and you're like, oh, I'm not the Flash. I can't do laundry that fast. So now I've forgotten that I wanted to tweet them that answer. So
that was,
maybe
that
you're right.
Well done. Very well done.
Thanks.
So maybe we'll start doing questions generated from our conversation on the show, and then we'll put it on social media.
And then we can kind of recap and
right.
What everybody's was the next time.
I like it. All right. So
that randomly just came up, but yeah.
Yeah. You are at Mom's a Nerd on Twitter and Instagram. The show is at Geek and Sassy on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Jenny Cruz 2814 on Twitter, and we did an episode of Talking Pop a couple weeks ago,
Tim and I did an interview with Steve Willey. That was fun and crazy, just like all of our interviews are. And I was a guest. It hasn't dropped yet, but it will in July. I was a guest on my very first wrestling podcast, Tim's Show, Survey Says. And then probably right around the time this comes out, I will have done a second wrestling podcast on the Mothership. But I'm not going to tell you when. So, because I think that they were keeping that under their hat. So, anyway, check out all of the awesome shows on Place to Be Nation, Place to Be Nation Pop. We're also rolling out a lot of written content. The wonderful Stacy has started a awesome kind of a series about women's wrestling, which I have enjoyed very much. And lots of great articles have been coming out recently. Check all those out at placeofnation.com. And
yeah, yours truly, when she gets her shit together, we'll actually have articles there too. Yay, me!
Yeah, Stacy and I are doing a thing, and I think there's another thing that's coming out. So
I like we're like, hey, there's this thing. We can't tell you what it is, but there's this thing.
just be aware that there are things. Okay?
Written content. Check it out.
I think I'm going to call my next project Thumbs Up.
Half a thumb up. I think that should be that half a thumb.
Okay. Thank you.